about.
Play this record as frequently as possible. Then, as it becomes easier for you, play the record once a day or as needed.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Very, very few people could do the job you people do. And I want to just let you know, I am so behind you. And I know maybe sometimes you haven't gotten the backing that you wanted. And you're going to get so much backing. Maybe you're going to say, please don't give us so much backing. Mr. President, please, we don't need that much backing.
You guys know who this is. This guy needs no introduction. Mr. Tony Hawk, how you doing, man?
Good, thank you.
Now, you still have your radio show on Sirius, right? Where could people find that?
How can so much and so little be happening in that head of yours?
And now.
I used to hate mornings, like those cats on the coffee cups. But now I love them because of this show.
Our feature presentation.
Good morning, everybody. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. September, August 7th, 2017.
Sounds about right.
Thanks, Bugs.
Hey, how's it
Good
going?
Kevin.
Oh, hey, Kevin.
Hey, everyone. We're still doing this?
Yeah.
Just walk in?
Maybe. What, you think I'm just standing out in the hallway?
Like, let Muggs do his thing.
Just wasting my time so Muggs can do his impression?
Just trying to understand it all, that's all. Just all trying right. to figure it out. Well, a lot has changed since you were last on the show.
Okay.
Chip, remember Chip, the little one? She lives in South Dakota now.
Does she? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a full-time thing. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, she's gone. Dave, remember Dave, the Mexican? He no longer lives in Chicago. He now lives back in California. So we got Dave in the building.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You remember Christine, the
sure.
Asian one?
Uh-huh.
She's living in NyQuil land now.
Oh,
so
no.
Mm-hmm. We don't have her.
Okay.
So there's a lot of moving pieces going on here
All
on
right.
the show. So, but I think we are here. We're not quite at full strength, but we're getting there. And we're ready for a new show.
That's correct.
How was everybody's weekend?
Fantastic.
Real good.
Long.
Long.
Oh, you didn't hear about Muggs.
Oh, wedding
Muggs,
weekend.
Muggs had the weekend from hell.
Oh no.
Muggs got roped into 3 days for a wedding that he wasn't even in.
It was.
How did you get roped into that?
Well, you know, it's just this new thing with weddings nowadays is you got to do a rehearsal dinner. Even if you're not in the wedding.
For people in the wedding, you
yeah,
do that.
No. You come to the, I guess it was a welcoming dinner, and then you have the wedding on Saturday, and then you have a brunch on Sunday, and by the time that's all over, you're socially spent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
F that
much.
Brunch, by the way.
The brunch was, it tasted good, but.
Yeah,
oh,
but
brunch tasted good?
Sure.
Cool.
It's a good update. The food and the brunch, not bad.
But you're allowed to have a life, though, Muggs. You're not the one getting married.
You're telling me. I know. It's quite ridiculous.
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
Nope. Well, I endured a natural disaster this weekend.
All know? Right. What happened?
What?
I don't know if you don't watch the news, Kevin, because you're a kid, but New Orleans had 10 inches of rain on Saturday.
Oh, my God.
10 inches in one day.
Yes. And another 2 yesterday morning. And it was flooding like I've never seen in my life and was terrifying for many people who live here, obviously, who are very sensitive to flooding.
Sure.
And hundreds of cars abandoned and filled up with water and not able to go anywhere or tried to get to higher ground and drove up on lawns and things like that to get out of the street. And,
wow.
You know, all those got towed away and just hundreds and hundreds of houses and buildings just flooded.
That must have brought back incredibly bad memories. Mm.
There's a lot of Katrina PTSD in this town anyway.
Yeah.
But, I mean, 10 inches of water in the streets and parts of the French Quarter, too.
That's
so
insane.
Yeah, it was a mess. I mean, and we have all these pumping stations and everything like that, but they're just not set up for that kind of rain. I mean, for, you know, 2, 3, 4 inches in an hour is just more than any pumping system can handle. So
right.
it was pretty scary, and they're becoming more and more frequent. And people are like, hey, what's the future of cities like this that live, you know, that are on the water?
That are below sea level.
And below sea level, yeah. So it was, I mean, man.
Were you packing sandbags?
It wasn't quite – I mean, there was, it certainly wasn't in some places, not in my neighborhood. But, yeah, there were definitely people who were doing that. But it really it makes you nervous for the future with as crazy as weather is getting. And, you know, these 100-year storms now seem to be happening every, you know, every few months.
Stupid Al Gore, right?
Stupid Al Gore, by the way.
Right.
Why don't we take him to task when that dude was on? Anyway, but, you know, no one died as far as I know. So, you know, fingers crossed in a situation like that, it would have been real easy for somebody to get stuck in the wrong spot at the wrong time. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So, knock on wood. Hey, before we get into today's show, we got a pretty good show. You guys would agree that I'm pretty good with the ladies, right?
I mean, no. I would say that's the opposite of the truth.
Yeah.
But I mean...
I've been with being on an elevator before, and mm-hmm. a woman will just get on the elevator, and no words are spoken, mm-hmm. and you can just feel the dislike bordering on hate toward being just automatic. It's just a gut.
Unsaid.
Yeah, it's just a gut reaction.
Yeah.
That's in your mind.
It's not.
And when it comes to making sex, that's my real specialty.
Oh,
you would agree. Why? I mean, the making.
But you know, you guys know how I do.
Sure.
And I have often said on this program that you're not in control of what turns you on. It's just, it's baked in somehow, and you don't choose to be aroused by a thing. It just happens. And I bring you all that
you. Now, where do you think
story.
He's going with this, Allie?
I am terrified.
This is a.
After the whole emoji thing,
This is a news story separate from yourself that you're about to tell us, right? This is not a confession.
Of course.
Okay.
This is a news story. It's also a nude story.
Okay.
About a woman who worked as a manager in Manchester, and she had a relationship. Apparently, as usual, not enough details in the Telegraph, but apparently they did know each other and had previously engaged in sex. Well, they got hot and heavy on the text, and they arranged a tete-a-tete, as they say, in a local motel.
You know what? They don't say that anymore.
And please don't do it. A tete-a-tete, if you will.
She paid for the room, and she invited the man over, and she was very excited. And there's a whole text record to show how turned on she was by the idea that he was going to bring a loaded shotgun with him.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no.
And put it in a place.
Oh, no.
What?
Yes. That was her fantasy. I can't sleep. I'm so excited, she said. So that's what happened. He, David Jeffers, 47, she, unnamed in the article, 46, met together in the hotel at some point, had sex, and then he put the shotgun in one of the places where the sun don't shine. By the way,
hers.
Okay,
just check.
Good question.
Hers. As if it's not awful enough. In the trial, and by the way, the reason this is in the news, it happened in January. The reason it's in the news is he has just been convicted of attempted murder. She was fine, by the way, I should say.
What?
She was fine. The gun went off.
Oh, she wasn't fine.
No, there was damage. There was no question there was damage, and she'll live with that poor decision for the rest of her life. But thank God she wasn't killed, right?
That isn't good for you.
He claimed in the trial that he found the gun in a toilet of a pub at a train station in Leeds. So it's not even sanitary. On top of being a bad idea, it's not even sanitary.
So you're more upset that it was a dirty gun than
so many germs.
It was a gun.
So germy, right, exactly. So she ended up in the Manchester Royal Infirmary with multiple gunshot pellets in the abdomen, significant trauma injuries, emergency surgery. Her life was saved, but of course she will have, she'll have problems the rest of her life. So she kind of turned on him at trial and said he was a bad man who tried to blow her insides out. But there's a track record of her requesting, you know, the gun and everything. So it's kind of, I don't know, I feel like maybe it shouldn't have been loaded. I feel like that would have been a good start.
Right.
Not loaded.
That wasn't part of her fantasy, right?
It didn't say in the article whether it had
the
to be
shooting
loaded
of the gun
or
loaded.
She wanted a gun, but I mean, I would think if you're going to play act, don't make it possible that something like this would happen.
That's what you do with weapons.
So the judge described it as a sexual fantasy with dreadful consequences. What do you think the sentence was for this, by the way, for this guy showing up and fulfilling her fantasy, but then having it go wrong at the last minute there? Oh, I should also mention, since you're on the jury now, that he then, when she got shot, he called the front desk and said, "Hey, send an ambulance. I'm out." And then he left.
Oh. Yeah, that's a problem.
So you're saying, well, how much time did they give him?
How much time did he give him?
A Attempted murder. I would say 10 years.
All right. 10 years.
40.
40? Mugs?
Life.
You can always count on Mugs. Kevin? 10 years.
Wow.
Thank you.
10 years. How about that?
Wow.
So there you go. It also won't surprise you. There was drugs, there was alcohol, there was cocaine in both of their systems. So again, not maybe the greatest mindset to make excellent decisions, but
that was a good one. That was a good decision, I think.
Don't do any of the things that I have described here.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Oh, that's right.
Wait, that was you doing Petros.
Oh, that's right.
So funny. How many of those sound clips we have that I have no memory of why I would have done it?
Yeah.
At what point? Harvey Levin from TMZ, like we do on Mondays.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, Harvey Levin, sure. Yeah, he's talking to us.
Chris Harrison, the host of The Bachelorette on the program today.
How about that?
Eliza Schlesinger in studio.
Love her.
Very excited about that. Expressions that annoy you. Where did this one come from, Bean? I'm assuming it's you.
It's not.
Oh,
this came from, well, we'll discuss it later, but there are expressions, some of which are said on this program with frequency, by the way, that drive our listeners crazy.
Ah.
I'm going to give people the opportunity to discuss those phrases and expressions that people use that you just wish would be retired from the English language.
I can't even, right? Is that one of them?
As an example, yes.
And former Mexican President Vicente Fox apparently is going to be on the wall with Chris Hardwick. Which is very cool.
No.
He's going to be on a game show for the first time ever.
Interview, making comments about
the wall
that our president keeps claiming that Mexico is going to pay for. He says not so much, but he says it with extraordinarily colorful language on CNN, which we love.
Oh, sweet. Very excited about that. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
Much to Alan McKay's delight, the Killers are coming to Staples Center on February 1st. And we are giving away tickets all this week here on the Kevin and Bean Show and throughout the day at K-Rock Plus. Then you are qualified to be the man. You guys see what they did there?
What does that mean?
Grand prize drawing is you get to be the man.
You ticket free, get a strap on.
Oh,
no. Alex. No.
Yeah.
Brandon?
And a mustache.
Oh.
Tickets
and a monocle?
For you and, tickets for you and five friends.
Because all men wear monocles.
Yep.
It's a very masculine look.
It sure is.
The monocle.
Because Allie does know a lot about men. Tickets for you and five friends, your own dressing room. You get to hang with the band. You get to raid the merch booth. And you get a chauffeured SUV to the show. So you would be the man. Which is the name of the latest Killers single, you guys. You see what they did there? Mm. Very
sounds,
clever here.
That's racist to
sounds
me.
Sexist. Yeah.
Keep listening. Your chance coming up on K-Rock. Ralph is here now. Time for the show. He's been on a Monday. Good morning, sir.
It is a Monday. That means we look at the weekend's box office to see what folks went to see in the movie theaters. Here's your look. Number one, Dark Tower debuted. Made it number one. But it wasn't a big number one. A little number one. $19.5 million.
Ooh.
Debut was $19.5 million, which, as I mentioned, was enough to make it number one, but it was low enough to make everyone involved with the movie very nervous.
I keep seeing these articles, these think pieces, that Idris Elba is a great actor and should be an enormous movie star, but he doesn't seem to end up in the right movies. And what's up with that?
Hmm.
People think his talent far exceeds the films that he's in. And this is another example of that.
He is great.
He is great.
So a lot of people are writing that. He's great, but he's not in hits?
Yes. Why can't we find a better venue for his talent, I think, is the thinking.
That's not our job. Is it?
Well, no, not you and me. I'm saying the people who make movies and...
Yeah, maybe his choosing of projects.
Could be. Yeah. I mean, yeah, he says yes to all the things he's in, so sure.
But how many cases are that in show business where you know enormously talented actors who are not achieving the level of success that would be commensurate with their talent?
80%.
Yeah, there are a few, right. For sure. Yeah,
most. Because a lot of the stars who are in hits, you look at and say, I think I found me a Transformer. And then you say, how did that happen? Right?
Right.
Should be slinging burgers. Two was Dunkirk. Oh, it's Nazis. Oh! I have a bone to pick with the Nazis.
You do?
Don't get me started. Emoji Movie was third. Oh, emojis. Don't get me started. Bone pick. Girls Trip. Oh, girls. Right?
I don't even know what that means.
Kidnap. Oh, kidnappers. Don't get me started on kidnappers. I'm not a fan. $10.2 million made the new Halle Berry movie number five. Spider-Man Homecoming 6. Atomic Blonde, Detroit, War for the Planet of the Apes, and Despicable Me 3 were your top 10 films at the box office. Speaking of Despicable Me 3, this young lady named Adele, this singer-songwriter lady named Adele.
Yes.
How can she still be getting better?
Yeah.
On a Thursday night, she got together and she rented out a movie theater. And she held a private free screening of the film Despicable Me 3 for some of the youngsters and the families who survived that horrible apartment building fire in London's Grenfell Tower on June 14th. 80 people were killed in that fire, and she brought in some of the community to get together for an evening at the movies and treated them all to a screening of Despicable Me 3.
How about that?
Adele, according to friends, now sees aiding her community as her full-time job now that she's no longer touring and or recording right now, so she just wants to dedicate herself to trying to heal the wounds caused by that horrible disaster back in June.
Did she put on appropriate makeup for you this time around, Ralph?
I have not seen the photos.
She did not.
I'll get back to you. No?
She didn't. No. And I swear to God, if you say anything about it, I will punch you in your privates.
Did she have just the goggles on with one eye?
I swear to God.
I'm just saying. She knows she's going to be seen by people, right?
That's not the point of forgiving and caring.
It's not the whole point, but it's a little bit of the point. Saying it's a portion of the point. It's a point portion.
And I don't want to pile on, Allie, but
good Lord.
Seriously. Had to be a Thursday. Couldn't hook it up on a weekend. I mean, come on.
Wow.
Right? Just now just makeup saying. Looks pretty reasonable.
How about I hate both of you equally?
That's fair enough.
All right.
And another day, another rich performer gets richer. Like Lionel Richie. They get a little richer every time we play him. This time it was Katy Perry. Katy Perry was recently hired for a private gig. The LuLaRoe company. You know LuLaRoe?
Mm-mm. Never heard of it.
Makers of fine paddles.
What?
Paddles.
What? The LuLaRoe company.
I got it. It's dumb.
Rowing.
Come on.
What else would they make? Lulas?
Yes.
It says here they make women's dresses, maxi skirts, pencil skirts, A-line skirts, sheath dresses, and they're all simply comfortable.
Ah, that's what I meant.
Multi-level marketing company. It's one of those in-home party kind of deals.
Oh, come see my LuLaRoe.
Yeah.
Said Allie on many occasions. They rented out Angel Stadium.
Holy cow.
For their personal party. And invited a young lady named Katy Perry to come and play.
Wow.
Now, when you get Katy Perry, you also get her rider. So the word is that there were very specific requests. There were certain flowers that were allowed in the dressing room and backstage area only. Very particular drinks. Only red candies.
Didn't even
specify.
Multiple
candies, but they all had to be red.
Huh. Huh.
Any VIP passes were limited to just Katy's friends and family. No one else could get VIP passes backstage. She was on stage for 75 minutes. Just longer than a lot of these private gigs.
Right.
It's almost a concert. What do you think she was made for that one night's work at Angel Stadium for the LuLaRoe Paddle Company?
$750,000.
That is an excellent guess, Kevin.
I'm going to say Katy Perry is in the $1 million club.
Yeah, I think more.
It's a great guess, Allie.
More than you is what I meant.
More
so
than Kevin?
I'd say
not
I'd
more
say,
than Bean. Same as Bean.
I'd say maybe 1.5.
Ladies and gentlemen, $1.5 million was Katy Perry's salary for one evening's work late
for
last
one
month.
One night,
yeah.
But she's got to pay tax.
That's right.
That's right.
Got to pay tax on that.
So yeah. So it's not even worth it.
A couple bucks,
yeah, right? Today's celebrity birthday is Dave Duchovny. He's 57 years old today. Samantha Ronson, DJ Samantha Ronson. Can we cross her name off the list? I don't think she really counts anymore since she stopped boning Lindsay Lohan or whatever that was all about. Mike Trout of your Anaheim Angels of Los Angeles, or Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, or that baseball team that plays that game down that street.
I think his next, if I remember correctly, his from the weekend, his next hit will be his 1,000th major league hit, which is incredible considering he just hasn't been playing that long.
He's 26 years old.
Mm.
You know where he's from? Anybody? Anybody know where he's from? Hometown?
I'm going to say Philly.
Philadelphia, okay. Pennsylvania!
What a surprise. Whenever Ralph asks, it's Philly.
He's at so many Eagles games.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, him and Carson Wentz are boys. So Mike Trout's my favorite baseball player, which has nothing to do with baseball. 26 years old. And an actress, a friend. Yes, I admit it, a former love.
Oh, dear.
Charlize Theron. Charlize Theron celebrates her 42nd birthday today. So I want everyone to know we're still in a good place.
Mm-hmm.
We care and respect for each other a lot.
I felt like a week and a half ago, everything was going well between you two.
Well, look. Life moves fast, Kevin.
I see.
If you don't look around once in a while, you're going to miss it.
Okay,
oh,
I heard that.
Ferris.
You're requesting privacy this time, are you?
I am requesting privacy. But please know we do love and respect each other, and we will work together to raise our fantasy child.
Oh, God.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Do I remember correctly? It's 15 hours of The Bachelorette tonight. Is that how it works?
I think so, yeah.
For the finale, 15
starts
hours.
Right now, oddly enough.
Crispy Harrison, host of the show, is going to be joining us along with Ralph Garman right at 7 o'clock this morning for a preview of what to expect tonight. First, though, I thought we might have Harvey Levin back on, but apparently he's still boycotting the Kevin and Bean show in the newsroom at TMZ.com. But our good friend Van Lathan is on the phone. Hey, Van.
What's up? I think his exact words to me were, I'm done with those guys.
Yeah, I don't
blame that's pretty consistent with the Harvey that we know and love. Hey, what's this live stream that you guys are all huddled around watching? What's happening right now?
That's actually the reason why Harvey is not able to join you guys right now, because he is furiously working at this thing. It's Lisa Bloom just going full in on Usher Raymond.
And, okay, so she is the attorney representing the accusers against Usher Raymond.
Absolutely.
Gotcha.
She is representing three people, two women and a man, who have said that they were exposed to an STD by Usher Raymond. I'm sure everyone has heard what STD it is now. She says it is herpes 2, which is the genital type of herpes. She says in 2012, these three individuals were exposed to this sexual transmitted disease by Usher. He did not warn them that he had it. He's facing lawsuits all over the place, as you know. Another woman for $20 million for the same thing. And these people as well. Usher is in all kinds of trouble right now.
All right. Now, Van, do you know the history of previous lawsuits like this against people? I mean, is there generally a huge payout if somebody gives you herpes, they knew they had it and they didn't tell you, or has this not been tested before?
Oh, no, there definitely is. First of all, it's illegal.
Right.
And normally, if these types of things that can be proven, see, the deal with this is that this might happen, but part of the reason that you don't hear that much about it is because normally the point of the celebrity, the point of the payoff from the celebrities is to keep all of this stuff sort of under wraps.
Right,
so there are a lot
of
these deals, a lot of these settlements happening, but normally a stipulation in them is you can't talk, NDAs, and all kinds of things like this. It was only until after some of this paperwork leaked a couple of weeks ago that people realized exactly how long Usher has been allegedly affected with this, and the fact that he might have exposed multiple people. So if Usher's been infected with this disease since 2009, 2010, which is what the original paperwork alleges, then think about all the people he may have had sex with between then and now.
Yeah.
All those people are going to think, well, did he, do I? And if they do have it, they're going to come back and look at him and try to get some money out of him.
Gotcha. All right, last question on this. We're talking to Van Lathan in the newsroom at TMZ.com right now. Is what's Usher saying? Is he admitting that he has it?
He's saying absolutely nothing.
Nothing so far. Okay.
We haven't heard anything. We know that there's been a couple of performances that he's kind of been carrying on as if things are kind of not falling apart. But he's not saying very much. We do know that his wife, he's married right now, is not letting these allegations sort of get to her. She is sticking by his side. But as far as Usher, we haven't heard a peep from him.
All right. Well, let's go from one sad story to another. One of Hollywood's favorite couples announced separation last night, and there were a lot of people on the internet who kind of took this one personally, Van.
Yeah, everybody. This was a big one. Anna Faris and Chris Pratt, everybody's favorite couple, splitting, legally separated after 8 years of marriage. I was completely caught off guard by this. Here in the TMZ newsroom, they're like kind of the gold standard for Hollywood relationships. She put this up on, she made a statement on Instagram saying, we're sad to announce we're legally separating. We're really disappointed, but they are pledging to co-parent their one son, Jack, that he still has two loving parents. But listen, I'll say this, and everyone's going to be mad at me. I warned of this.
You did?
I tell you why. Chris Pratt was kind of like the everyman sort of star. He was the working actor, the grinder. When you become like the A-list hunkazoid, sometimes things happen, man. Sometimes, you know, you're real close to Jennifer Lawrence and these relationships end up going by the wayside. Anna Faris is a very lovely woman, but fame, once you inject it, I've seen it before, into these situations, it doesn't always work out, man.
Plus, they're Seahawks fans, right?
How dare you,
that's
Allie
a huge
McVay.
Win. How dare you?
Who's with me? Right?
It's grounds for divorce right there.
I saw a report recently, Van, that I think it was Entertainment Weekly, that Chris Pratt had said that he only saw his son twice between the time he was 7 months old and the time he was 13 months old, because he was always off filming, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy or Jurassic World or something like that, and away from home. That's a strain, you know, forget the damage it does to the child. That's a strain on any marriage, that kind of away time.
Absolutely. First of all, I don't know what Entertainment Weekly is. I've never heard of that before. secondly, listen, the work from the Marvel movies is great, but they're shooting film after film after film after film, and I'm sure it must be hard. The reality is that this was a very, very loving couple that had a very, very sort of public and seemingly functional relationship. And it hasn't really been too long that we've seen them messing around and piling around. I think last year or a couple of months ago, they all went camping with Aaron Rodgers and Olivia Munn, another couple that is now not together anymore. So, you know, these celebrity relationships are tough, but this was a tough one.
It is funny how invested we get in these people we don't even know, but we just still root for them, and we're still sad when they break up, you know?
I'll tell you what, if Jay-Z and Beyonce ever get a divorce, I'm going to stop coming to work.
Wait for it. It'll happen. Don't you worry.
Don't really? Is that your call, Allie?
Don't you even say that.
Come
don't
on.
Even play like
come
that.
Come on. It's happening.
Don't put your hex on them, Ricky Bobby.
Saying.
All right. TMZ airs on Fox Channel 11 throughout the day. Of course, TMZ Live at 4 p.m. Same channel, TMZ Sports, Monday through Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1. And, of course, our friend Van Lathan on the phone at Twitter, at Van Lathan and at TMZ. Van, great talk, man. We'll do it again next time. Thank you.
Thank you. No problem.
Chris Harrison talks The Bachelorette coming up in about 20 minutes. And we got more tickets you can win to see Killers at Staples Center on K-Rock. These tapes that came out last week of the president, our president, Donald J. Trump, speaking with world leaders, these transcripts that came out, are very illuminating with the way things work. Politicians, man, they make deals, don't they?
They do, and normally this kind of stuff doesn't get publicized.
Yes, that is correct. He was on the phone, our president was on the phone with the president of Mexico, Enrique Nieto, and he was saying, look, you know how you keep saying how you're not going to pay for the wall? That's hurting me, bro. I mean, stop doing that because I can't negotiate if you're on TV and radio all the time saying how you're not going to pay for the wall. So that was thing one. Thing two was President Nieto's predecessor then went on CNN and said in very strong language that he agreed with the guy who succeeded him about they're not going to pay for the wall. This is Vicente Fox on CNN with Allison Camerotto. And this is a really hilarious interview when you think that this poor woman is trying to interview him on live TV and she didn't expect it.
And New Mexico should have been more forceful in saying it's never going to happen.
Well, you can use my words. We'll never pay for that wall. With that full F wall, that makes it more clear, but it's still who can think about a country paying for a wall that is going to be built in the neighbor's territory? Or why should Mexico pay for a wall? What's the reason? We don't need a wall.
I like that he uses the word first and then he goes back and says effing.
Yes, exactly. We're not going to pay for the effing wall, he says. Later that same day, by the way, he also tweeted it and got the hashtag effing wall going, except without effing. So we wanted to find out if, you know, if this strong language reflects where he's at now. So we asked Dave if there's any way we could talk to the former president of Mexico. Vicente Fox is on the phone. Good morning, Mr. President. Thank you so much for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
How are you, sir?
How the are you?
Okay. Oh, all right. Sir, I have to remind you, we're on the radio.
What remind me what?
We can't use that kind of language here on American radio. I don't know how it works in Mexico, but we can't say that word on the air.
In Mexico, you can say anything you want.
Okay, well, that's not how it works here, sir.
Look at my...
Okay.
I mean, I don't think you can say that either.
No.
I just did.
Look, we appreciate you coming on, but if you would, please try to control your language.
Okay. I will. I'm so sensitive. Okay. All right, lady boy.
Whatever it's not that. We're interested in what you have to say.
I'll be gentle with you. You'll never even know that I
Oh, wow.
Man, oh, man.
Kevin, I'm not having any luck here. You want to try this?
Mr. President, you were talking. You were talking again about.
Presidente.
Yes. You were talking.
Former.
Right, former president. Yes. You were talking about Donald Trump continuing to say that Mexico is going to pay for the wall.
Yes, all the time. He's always saying, and trust me, they're going to pay for the wall. Well, we're not going to pay for the wall, okay?
Okay.
That's what everyone needs to know.
Yes, and as you pointed out in the CNN interview that we just heard the excerpt from, there's no incentive for Mexico to pay for the wall. You don't care whether your people come across the border into America, right?
There's no incentive. There's no Vincente. There's no reason for us to pay for the wall.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because, first of all, a lot of people are not going to America anymore.
Right.
Because jobs are down. And Donald Trump.
Okay.
Also, making people not want to be in your country. And trust me, Donald Trump puts the back in country.
I don't
say that either.
Wow. All right, just if you would, just some respect for the office, if you don't mind, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. You're a lady boy. You cannot use the language of men.
It's not like that at all. It's just we have a button that we have to hit every time you say a bad word. We can't use that language.
You can hit right here. It's more like a switch or more like a baseball bat. But you can hit it anytime you want, lady boy.
So how do you think this drama between your country and ours is going to eventually play this situation out, sir?
First of all, I believe that America and Mexico will always be great allies.
Okay, mm-hmm. Good. Oh, that's wonderful, yes.
So despite this little problem we have with your current president, mm-hmm. I don't think it is going to be a major problem between our peoples.
Oh, that's good to hear.
That is good to hear.
That's very nice.
Or we're going to come there and you up.
Okay, there's that.
That's the other option?
Well, cut a bitch. Okay. Put a cap in your ass. Gringos.
Okay. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes till 7 o'clock.
Kevin, you were out on a Friday, but we were talking about musical artists that hate their songs. They still have to play them because they become big hits, but they regret them. And that was one of the ones on the list, MGMT Kids. They're like, hey, that's really a terrible song. But they're kind of stuck with it at this point because the kids love it, right?
Yep, nothing you can do.
Exactly. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. And then your friend Crispy Harrison joins us to talk all things Bachelorette right after the top of the hour, Ralph.
Indeed. Tonight's the big finale. Can't wait. Just 3 hours just to roll around in. So good.
Who are you rooting for?
True love, like everyone else.
I don't usually have a favorite. I don't really have a favorite this season. Although Peter seems to be the most level-headed and reasonable of them all. He doesn't bowl me over with his personality, but he seems to be like a good guy who is taking this seriously. Everyone else seems to be just a little bit nuts. So, I got to say Peter. That's what I'm rooting for. However, I think she's going to go with Brian. That's that hot Colombian blood, right? It's hard to resist.
That's right.
Hard to resist. All those dominoes he plays. You guys don't know what I'm talking about, do you? But it's okay. I'll explain it all.
He took her to a park and played dominoes. I saw.
Okay. everybody going to buy into some Fatburger stock, right?
Why?
What's going on with
Fatburger? Fatburger's awesome, and they're going to have an IPO this month.
Okay.
They're going to sell shares in Fatburger.
All right.
Right?
Yummy.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. Fatburger. I'm saying. Fatburger's going to make a mint.
Right.
They're going to explode. They've already got 200 restaurants. They're going to get another 200, they think, in the next year.
Wow.
They're going to buy up other restaurant locations and turn them into Fatburgers. It's going to be monster. Jump on, man.
Bean has all his money in Twitter.
I know. I don't listen
I do.
To, don't listen
I'm
to
pretty
Bean.
Tied up right now.
I don't listen to Bean, but I'm saying Fatburgers. I have now, never. It's an IPL. It's awesome.
Never been to a Fatburger.
Oh, Jesus. God damn it.
How would you compare it to, say, like In-N-Out?
In-N-Out is better, except for the fries.
Except for the fries.
Fatburger fries are the way to go.
But Fatburger is...
I don't know. Fatburger is
pretty good. It's pretty good.
Yeah. And it's easier to get. It's easier to navigate than In-N-Out. In-N-Out puts you through a lot of hoops. It's always that line, and there's a lot of questions and stuff needs to be dealt with. And Fatburger, you just go in, you order, boom, you got your meal. Life goes on. Yes.
Yeah.
Convenient. Nice. Convenient. Anyway, just saw that news. I'm very excited. as I am, about the top 10 movies at the box office, because it's Monday morning. We always take a look. The Dark Tower debuted at number one this weekend with $19.5 million. Not a big opening
weekend. You want to explain it to the listeners, The Dark Tower?
Come on, Kevin. Give us a rundown. Just give it, encapsulate, if you would, the plot and thrust.
There's a Dark Tower. Dark Tower. Mm-hmm. And it protects people from bad.
Okay, you got a little more time. You can flesh that out.
That's pretty much it.
You can flesh out the movie.
And then they fight, you know, good and bad, fight each other to try and protect the tower.
Because the bad's trying to protect the tower, too?
No, bad's trying to take the tower down.
Like you said, good and bad are fighting to protect
the tower. Good is trying to keep bad from destroying the tower.
Okay.
Because the tower protects
How's that work?
I'm not positive how that works.
Is the tower magic?
Yes.
Did you see the movie?
Yes.
$19.5 million made it number one.
How long has it been since a movie has made that little and been number one?
I don't have those details in front of me. It's been a while, though, right? I don't have the details about when's the last time a movie made under $20 million and was number one.
I'm saying it's been a while. That's my point.
Pie graph or chart or bar graph.
I'm saying it's been a while.
Zen diagram or Venn diagram. Or Sven diagram. It was a Swedish guy who used to live next door. Dunkirk was second with $17.6 million. Listen to Bean sighing. That's typical. That's the kind of question you usually ask. What are you all gassed about?
It was a great question, but I was sighing because I brought up the information Kevin was requesting, but 2 seconds too late because you'd already moved on, and then I didn't want to go back and keep your exhale to yourself.
So you had to give us the deep sigh so we could all know how deeply disappointed you were by the show.
I was disappointed in myself.
All right, what's the answer?
This will surprise you guys a great deal that the lowest grossing number one movie of the last 20 years only made $5.5 million. And it was number one in the weekend. And it was Jerry Maguire.
But Kevin asked, when was the last time a movie
was number one that made under $20 million? Mm-hmm. That was the question. So you didn't actually have the answer.
What do you mean I didn't have the answer?
Well, I'm saying...
What was the last film that was number
one? I don't know what the last one was.
So then you didn't pull up the information we needed.
Well, no, I did. I brought up a list of lowest grossing number ones, though, where the number one movie made less than $10
million.
Well, there's a lot of movies on here, though, but not the most recent one, I'm sorry to say.
You didn't have to speed bump us with your deep sigh, then.
I did the best I could.
No, you didn't. You didn't do the best you could at all. You did something, but it was just a thing that you did. And then you were all sad about it. And made us all know how sad you were. So then we had to stop and ask you, what's the matter? Why are you sad?
I suck so bad. When we get on the air, we'll do it right, though. Okay?
We'll edit that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dunkirk was second. What information do you have, Allie?
I just pulled it up, but you had moved on.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to move on. My bad for trying to move forward. What we should do is just float in the same place for a long time until the sharks start to circle.
A lot of sighing going on this show. And on the other side of the radio as well, I'm sure.
Oh, they're not listening any longer. The Emoji Movie's Third, Girls Trip, and Kidnap are the top five films. Spider-Man Homecoming, Atomic Blonde, Detroit, War for Planet of the Apes, and Despicable Me 3. $5 million made it number 10, but congratulations, Despicable Me 3. It's with this weekend's box office, it has just become the most lucrative animated franchise in movie history. So congratulations to Despicable Me et al. Minions, etc., etc., etc. You have any guess on what the most lucrative animated franchise was before this weekend's record-breaking box office for Despicable Me?
That Dora lady chick fish.
Dora Lady Chick Fish was a great franchise, Allie, but it was not the answer.
Okay.
Not Dora Lady Chick Fish, which I'm assuming you can only mean Finding Nemo and Finding Dora.
That's exactly what I meant.
Yeah, it's just two films, not really a franchise. Oh. Not really a long line of animated films.
Yeah.
Let's say more than two.
Okay.
Beer Mug's raising
his hand. Toy Story.
Toy Story, Kevin, is an excellent guess as well, but not correct.
Okay. Beer mug, was that your
Kevin
guess?
Kevin took my guess.
Oh, Kevin took your wrong guess, so don't be upset. Looked up the information you needed. It was too late.
What was it? Done.
The Shrek.
Shrek film.
Oh,
Shrek. Of course, Shrek
film. Square the most
that
successful.
That seems so long ago.
Franchise up to this point, but they made a lot of money.
Yeah.
Those Shrek films. Today's celebrity birthdays: Mike Trout of your Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, 26 years old today, and one of the best damn baseball players in the world. David Duchovny.
Certainly is.
Dave Duchovny is 57 years old today. An actress, model, producer, icon, mother, daughter, Charlize Theron, celebrates her 42nd birthday today. And as always, we send her all our love. Remember, she used to listen to our show.
Yeah.
I don't think she does anymore.
No.
I think she's made the right choice. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
How about those Foo Fighters doing a 3.5-hour club set the other night, the longest show they've ever played.
Slackers.
They played it for 1,100 people.
Yeah. Why they save their best show for 8 people? How about putting it out there for the 20 grand who show up once in a while?
Well,
how about
there, that? There was about Lollapalooza that. Going on at the same time.
Yeah, how about giving those some, throwing them a bone?
Our friend Eliza is here. She'll be joining us in studio in about 10 minutes or so on K-Rock. But Ralph, you want to introduce our next guest?
Not only is he one of the great Americans.
Wow.
But he is the host not only of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, but more importantly, the entire Batch franchise, as I like to call it. The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, Bachelor in Paradise. He is Chris Harrison, ladies and gentlemen.
Chris.
Today is like Christmas Day for me, but I'm not allowed to open my presents until tonight. That's how frustrated I am by tonight's Bachelorette finale, where we will see whether Rachel completes her journey and finds love. Now, by all accounts, as she said publicly, Chris, that she has found love, right?
Yes, she is engaged. She has found love. So tonight will just be the coronation and who she will choose.
You got Brian, you got Eric, you got Peter. Do you think, Chris, that there's been extra pressure on Rachel because she is the first African-American bachelorette to have to try to serve more than just her own interests on this show?
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some of it, you know, without her, but a lot of it has been self-induced.
Uh-huh.
And she felt that pressure. She wanted to live up to that title. You know, when ABC, you know, made her the first black bachelorette, she knew that, you know, and she's worn it very well, and she's worn it proudly and had to speak about it. And it's been a thing since she became the bachelorette. And so the good news is, while she was the bachelorette, it really wasn't a thing. You know, she went through the process and was able to do her and go on the dates and meet the guys. But outside of the bubble, you know, that's what a lot of the interviews have been about. You know, a little bit of the talk on the tell-all of last week was about that. So I think outside the show, it was more than while she was actually being the bachelorette.
The reason I brought it up, because it struck me, even as I was watching the show, that some of the guys, I believe it might have been Eric, at one point was kind of keeping track about who was going home versus black guys and white guys. He was almost like keeping a running total in his head. And I thought, wow, that's kind of unfair pressure to put on her that she has to keep or let go an equal number of black or white guys.
Well, and it's an interesting, you know, the different side of it, because that's sometimes taken, you know, account of in the press when it's a white bachelor or bachelorette.
That's
and
true.
You wonder if that will ever stop when, you know, say it's a white bachelor, they talk about, the token, you know, minority or whatever. And it's interesting to have now gone through with Rachel, and the same things are being said and the same things are being wondered about. And it's sad that that is still a thing that they have to worry about. And it's, you know, we talk about it, but, you know, Rachel definitely was very aware the entire time that, you know, she was under the scrutiny, and she knew that she was going to be judged for everything she did. And good on her. You know, it was very important that when we had, you know, a black bachelor or bachelorette, it was someone who was very strong, very independent, that was going to handle the good, the bad, the ugly, and she's done it very well.
She has handled it perfectly, yeah.
Yeah, and I wanted to jump in and say that am I wrong about this, Chris, that she has turned into one of the most universally loved and most popular bachelorettes of all time, and it's very hard for anybody to be on TV for that many weeks in a row and not develop a bunch of people who dislike you intensely, but I don't see much of that on Rachel.
Well, and unfairly or fairly, I'm not sure how it works. I guess it's up to the viewer. It happens a lot for the bachelorette. For some reason, the women kind of turn on their own a lot of times, and the bachelorette becomes unpopular halfway or three-quarters of the way through. Whether it's jealousy, whatever it is, they kind of turn on their own. But Rachel has not been that. And, again, all due credit to her for being the intelligent, well-spoken woman that she is, that she's been able to be popular, remain popular. And it's not like she's been meek. She's been outspoken. She's been strong. She's said her piece like she did last week with Lee. But she has been very beloved by everybody, the fans and everyone alike.
We are talking to Chris Harrison here on the Kevin DeBeach Show about the three-hour live finale of The Bachelorette starting at 8 o'clock on ABC Channel 7. What was it like for you, Chris, when you realized the Swami existed, that that was a real dude that you were going to be able to unveil to America?
That the who?
Dean's dad. We're talking about Dean's dad,
the Swami.
The yogi that was brought... That he brought her home to meet.
I play the gong, he said.
You know, that was really interesting to go through. You know, I always love the meet the parents, and yes. Even when they go back home. That's one of my favorite episodes because you can fake a lot. You can kind of, you know, get your way through this show, but you can't fake family. None of us can. When you take a girl back home, that's the time when you're like, oh, crap, this is like, now they're going to see everything I really am.
Right.
And I'm not that cool.
You do get the feeling that the parents aren't interested in playing this little game. So they'll act however they want to act.
Exactly. Well, and the thing is, it's the first time where they're kind of out of the bubble. You know, when they're dating and they're going through and it's so intense and it is so real to them. But when you step out and you run into people that are just going about their daily lives and you say, okay, I'm in love with this girl. And you're like, wait, whoa, pump the brakes. You know, they haven't been going through this. And it just seems so outlandish to them. And in some ways it probably is. But when Dean went home and he chose, and by the way, you know, huge, huge respect to Dean for taking us into what he knew was going to be an uncomfortable, volatile situation since he really didn't have a relationship with his dad since his mom died.
Yeah.
And then, you know, allowing us to show how ugly it can be sometimes and how uncomfortable family can be.
Is there any truth to the rumor that the yogi will be at Bachelor in Paradise? He'll be on the beach in Mexico trying to find love.
Yeah, please.
He's the yoga master and the Zen master. He's now my spiritual advisor.
Speaking of Bachelor in Paradise, that comes back soon, right? Like August 14th?
Yeah, so it was originally going to start this week, but due to, you know, the things that happened down there.
Wait a minute, something happened down there?
Why wasn't that on the news?
I'll call you off the air and I'll say, yeah, no, there's just a bad case of crabs. That was it.
You heard it here first.
Speaking of
the migration of the crabs. It's with the migration.
I see what you mean.
In the surf. Speaking of DeMario, and we were sort of alluding to him, kudos to you, sir.
Corrin.
Yes, DeMario and Corrin was the situation we're talking about. But kudos to you for calling him out when he was looking for his ocular facts about having ever dated that girl before. And you called him out and told him pretty much that you've got him saying that on video, which I thought was awesome.
It was, DeMario, the revisionist history, that's what always gets me at those tell-alls when they kind of come back and just make things up about what they feel they want us to hear. And I'm like, whoa, back up.
Yeah.
But DeMario kind of was... you know, distancing himself. Like, it got to the point where I don't even know who that is. I've never seen her before. And, he was kind of making that up. But, Paradise is going to be interesting because of the shutdown. We are going to go back and kind of walk you through, and you're going to see a lot of what happened and what went down leading up to the shutdown.
Oh, is that right?
You're not going to see, you're not going to see exactly what happened 100%, but you're going to see a lot.
Yeah, you can't ignore it. I mean, you have to show it. It happened, right? It's an important thing.
And it's not something, in all seriousness, it's not something we're going to push back and promote and tease and use. Because, like you said, it's the 10,000-pound elephant standing in the middle of the room. So you have to deal with it right away because it happened right away.
Right.
But at the same time, the show was going on for a good week into the first rose ceremony. So a lot of stuff happened that you need to see, not just DeMario and Corrin, but everything else that was happening, and there's also going to be a sit down and a talk with DeMario and Corrin because it's such a gray, bizarre kind of story that has so many layers. You really do need to sit down and have everybody discuss so everyone can kind of understand how this went down because it's not just a black and white issue. It really was a bit confusing for all of us.
Chris, one more question from me. Tonight, after the final rose, are we going to get any insight to perhaps who the bachelor might be for the next run of the show? I know sometimes you talk about that, sometimes you don't.
Right. Probably not.
Probably not.
Just recent history tells that, you know, the best thing to do for us is to wait through Paradise now, because right. That's where Nick popped last
week.
That's
true, yeah, okay.
But tonight's going to be very different because of the fact that we have three guys for the first time. You have, you know, Eric, Peter, and Brian are all moving into the finale. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to do things a little bit different. The show's live, as you know. We go live for 3 hours, but the first 2 hours are usually kind of in and out of the studio audience, and then we just tee it up and you go back in. Tonight's going to be different. It's going to be more of a live experience throughout the entire time with Rachel on set with me.
Oh, wow. So she'll be giving commentary?
We're going to be coming out. We're going to kind of service things as we go because there's three guys. It would be weird as if we waited for after the final rose and just backed up the whole truck and then talked to, you know, Eric, Peter, or Brian or whoever leaves early. So we're going to kind of take it piece by piece. And for the first time, she's going to watch it with us. And it's going to be a very different live event, which will be, I think, hopefully, knock on wood, more entertaining for everybody.
That sounds great.
That is a massive undertaking to do 3 hours of live TV, Chris. And we always talk about this when you're not listening. You are a phenomenal host. You really are able to juggle and have to do so many sensitive things in addition to great hosting things. You really do a terrific job with it, sir.
I appreciate it. I love it. You know, the live TV stuff is what I love. It's the, you know, it's what I kind of cut my teeth on when I got in this business. And there's not enough live TV. And, you know, I do. I relish those opportunities. So thank you, guys.
Is there any truth and rumor that Waboom will be co-hosting with you tonight?
He is getting fitted for some cement shoes. And hopefully you will never have to hear Waboom again.
Oh, God bless you, sir.
I hope you're right. All right. The Bachelorette, a three-hour live finale, airs tonight at 8 o'clock on ABC Channel 7. Chris, you're always very kind in your busy schedule to squeeze in some time for the Kevin and Bean Show. We really appreciate it. Have fun tonight, all right?
Thanks, guys. I always appreciate the love.
Thanks, buddy.
You bet.
Thank you. Bye now.
So the way it works is we invite Blanche onto the show, the cutest little dog in the world, and then she insists on bringing along her person. So, ladies and gentlemen, Eliza is here on K-Rock as
Thank
well.
Thank you. Someone's got a pack of lunch.
How are you? Good morning.
I'm great.
Good to see you. I know you got a lot of stuff to announce, a lot of stuff going on in the Eliza world, but I have to start with something else.
Okay.
And that is, I saw some very strong language from you on your Facebook Live about people walking around without shirts on, and I'm very confused by that.
Walking around
remember?
Without shirts on? No, I don't remember. I black out when I rage.
Well,
what did I say?
If I remind you that they were flying drones, that was a separate complaint.
Yeah.
But in general, the hatred you have for people being outside with their shirts off was stunning to me because I can't figure out where that's coming from.
Okay, but before we marginalize me for what you'll discover to be a very popular opinion,
okay, I'm down for it.
I live in my neighborhood.
Okay.
That's the end of the interview.
All right, good.
I live in my neighborhood. It's an older.
I live in my neighborhood. We have so much in common,
well,
Eliza.
What we do have in common is that New Orleans is a very crowded city, right? It's an old city, and things are kind of on top of each other. My neighborhood
yes,
is very,
very
similar.
Much. Okay,
it's up in the hills, and it's the houses are older. There aren't huge yards or anything. And I'm taking Blanche for her majestic morning poop, and I hear, and my fiance made fun of me for this, but I hear behind me what sounds like a swarm of wasps. Now, to the civilian untrained ear, you would think perhaps it was a lawnmower, but I had a spidey sense. I was like, oh, drone! And I turn around, and this thing is staring at me. Which
is that right?
It's staring at me.
That's which, creepy.
It's so uncomfortable because it's, what's it looking at? Leave me alone!
Yeah.
And it's up there, and so I take out my phone because that's Big Brother. That's very weird. There's
right.
no reason for that. So I follow it. My first thought was like, where do I get an industrial grade slingshot? Like, where do I get military grade, like an air gun or
you
something?
Need a rocket launcher.
Yeah,
bring it
yeah.
down. Right.
Something. I'm like, and I would that I had that aim, right? And so I walk around, and I just see these two dudes. Like, it's a family neighborhood. There's just two dudes. One's got his shirt off. He just looked like garbage. And the garbage giveaway was the tearaway Adidas pants, not that he had a shirt off. He also wasn't, like, a hot dude. It's not like it was, like, two – like, they just worked out. Like, he was just, like – you know he just lives like that. Like, eats at the dinner table like that.
Right.
It's just hot garbage fire. And they're just flying a drone on the doorsteps of this house. I didn't know.
I am 100% on you with the completely in agreement with you on the drone. I mean,
yeah.
No excuse for that. You're absolutely right to be outraged, and the technology has gone faster than the laws to.
So, because I looked it up,
corral it.
Because I was like, what are the What are laws for residential areas? You know, and it's not the shirt off. It's a composite. It's all the things. I'm adding insult to injury. Not only are you flying a drone, but you look like a tire fire.
Right.
So I start looking up the rules, and you can hear it, and then everyone on Twitter's like, shoot it down. I'm like, well, then I go to jail. Yours is a gray area, me breaking your toy. But I didn't like that it was there, and I didn't like that it was flying.
Would you have liked that it was there if they were hot?
No, I would have liked that they were hot, period. New paragraph, indention. By the way, don't spy on me.
Okay, I got you.
Yes, don't spy. I'm surprised we don't see more stories. As popular as these drones are, and you can buy it at any electronic store now, I'm surprised we don't see stories every single day of people flying their drones up to apartment buildings on the 10th floor and stuff. You know?
I don't know. And I know Amazon was working on it. I was like, that'll be fun target practice for
poor kids.
They were going to
deliver packages for a while?
Yeah.
It's a terrible idea.
Unless they do it with their packages without packaging, because then I could get on board. Because you know the whole thing with them and all the additional packaging. Like if you buy a button, it comes in like
a big old box. I've experienced that. And I just go, how are they possibly shipping it in this big of a box? That's ridiculous.
Imagine how big the box are that drone comes in.
Right?
So I was angry.
You said the F word a couple of minutes ago on the radio.
I did? First,
yes, you did. Fiance.
That is I always pride myself on things you could get.
That is news since the last time you were in, so congratulations.
Thank you.
You always want to get married?
No.
Interesting.
I didn't
Do you want to now?
Yeah. No, I
didn't. 50-50.
Yeah, we already told the parents. It was one of those things where I'm so in love with my job and my career and being selfish. And then you meet someone and it clicks. And so
it was a surprise to you.
I think I'd always thought about getting married. And then this sounds like a sort of platitude, but you're dating Los Angeles for so long and you just kind of come to assume like, oh, everyone's pretty horrible but me. Everybody thinks that, right?
Right.
Which is so funny because whenever women complain about dating, objectively, I look at it and I'm like, but you're terrible too.
Right.
Or a guy will say, I'm like, but you know, you're awful. You're also a garbage chicken. So then you meet someone that doesn't let you down and is lovely and understanding. And
you're shocked.
And you're shocked there's no other shoe that drops. I keep waiting. Every time he leaves, every time I hear my alarm go off and he leaves, I'm like, he's not coming back. He's like, why do you keep saying that?
How long do you think that'll last?
The paranoia?
Yeah.
Forever?
Forever.
I would think Eliza would be a fantastic wife because she's gone so much. Like a dream come
true. She was taking that as a compliment just for a second.
It as a compliment. I love Eliza in small doses. Hey, you're going to be at the
Improv. Except from the guy
Improv.
Who doesn't live here or work here. Got it.
Exactly, yes. You're going to be at the Irvine Improv this weekend.
I am. We're going Thursday. Me and Blanche are going Thursday. 2 shows Friday, 2 shows Saturday. I declined a Sunday show because Game of Thrones.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Good. Could we hear a little of your Game of Thrones theme song rendition, Eliza?
Should we explain to the people what it is?
Yes.
It's very personal.
Yes, please do. Yes.
Well, it's just it's the Game of Thrones theme song rendition that I do.
I mean, that's what he said, though.
Yeah, no, no.
Okay.
I do this on Snapchat, and people tune in to my Snapchat. It's just, I do a recap of last week's episode, but the gist of it is, well, can we play the Game of Thrones song here? Probably legally cannot.
Probably can, but we can't find it in that amount of time.
Oh, okay. It's really
I just like your version, that's all.
Game of Thrones and a Game of Thrones and a Game of Thrones and a game. And that's the end of it. And then I go, David Benioff and DB Wise. It's really a lot more impactful with the music.
I liked it. Improv.com to buy your tickets Thursday, Friday, and Saturday to see Eliza live on stage. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the TV show. We're going to talk about the book. By the way, you wrote a book.
I wrote a book, you guys.
Which is amazing. You know, the policy on this program is that reading is for losers, but somehow we're really, really impressed when people are able to write a book.
Don't worry, it was an audio book for all you radio enthusiasts.
Good.
Yeah.
Good news. More with our guest, Eliza, when we return right after this on K-Rock. Did I just hear somebody barking?
I went.
It was Eliza.
That was Eliza. Working.
I thought it pulled away from the cord.
Eliza is here on K-Rock, by the way. Three nights at the Improv in Irvine this weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, improv.com. You are ramping up for another Netflix special, I hear.
I am.
Very exciting. Number four.
Yeah, number four. Yeah, don't have a ton of details yet, but we're kind of going on a mini tour to get ready for that to then do a huge tour. And so,
you do a mini tour, then you go to the big tour, and then you've got the hour ready?
No, the hour will be ready, and then we do the big tour to promote the hour.
I got you. Okay.
And the so mini tour is just to get you in fighting shape for,
yeah,
the,
exactly.
for the special. Okay, but here's – I know you're keeping a lot of this close to your vest or chest, whichever you choose. But you have been saying that you're going to film it someplace – that's an expression.
No, I know. It's just close to the vest.
Who wears the vest? You've been saying that you're going to have to film it someplace close to water.
I can't say anything else.
Come on, Eliza.
I can't.
What does that even mean?
I can't because we
are
don't –
you, what? Are you water skiing in the special? What are you doing?
Yep. I'm going full Kardashian. I'm just wearing a bikini, and I'm just like, this is it. And there's no jokes. It's just my body Photoshop. I can't say it because one of my biggest pet peeves is when celebrities are like, hey, guys, a lot of amazing stuff coming up. Let you know about it later. And it's like, okay, cool. Way to fill up the air with nothing. So it has to – I can't say the rest of it because we don't have the location established. And which will be terrible is if we ended up not doing it, and then I just look like I lied.
All the thing falls apart. Sure. You end up doing it in Chicago or something. I got you.
Right, which I did the last one there. Not the worst. But, yeah. So we're just waiting.
Tell me about Girl Logic.
So Girl Logic is a book I've penned. It's a book I wrote for Weinstein Company, and it comes out November 7th. It's available for pre-sale now on Amazon. I didn't want to write an autobiography because I don't feel, you know, at 34, I guess I was 33 when I started this, like, what am I going to tell you? Like, here's how to become a paid regular and get all the way to the middle in life. So, and stand-up comedy is, you know, I don't know. It's not that glamorous or relatable.
It's also hard to write something new about stand-up comedy at this point.
Yeah. And I definitely think there are, you know, less women that have given their perspective. But that being said, I'm not at a place where I'm like, and that's how you become the biggest comedy star ever. Mic drop. So I wrote a book called Girl Logic, and this is sort of my love letter to women. This is me sort of giving credence to the thought process that women have to go through when we do anything. You know, we're expected as women to be so many things to so many people all at the same time. You're supposed to be, you know, hot but modest and live out loud and be bold but be vulnerable and be a mother and a sister and a daughter and a wife and all these different things. And depending on who you're interacting with, they expect different things. And that factors into our decision-making process because we're supposed to be – we're always factoring in past, present, and future and expectations from society when it comes to us. So great.
You guys think so much more than guys.
And we do it naturally.
Yeah.
And it's always, oh, she's crazy. Oh, she's a, you know, she's so weird. She's a woman. Oh, what a, you know, what a psycho. But all we're trying to do is please people. And all we're trying to do is feel good about ourselves. So the example that I use is, and this is not for everything, when, you know, a guy says, what do you want to eat? And that's always the big fight that ends up with the house burning down and your parents out of love. What do you want to eat? So a guy's like, I want pizza. Because that's it. You want pizza. And no one cares if you take your shirt off and it's grotesque because you're a guy.
Right.
And then as a woman, sure, you could say you want pizza. But it's then you go into this, what did I eat earlier today? Do I have to, you know, put on a dress later tonight? How am I feeling? Do I think I want to eat gluten? Does a cheese do something weird to me? Am I feeling heavy? And a lot of it centers around how we're feeling aesthetically. But these things factor in, and then you get frustrated.
It's so much more difficult.
It is.
It sounds very complicated.
But
I don't like it.
All these expectations on us. So it's like, oh, just eat the pizza. It's like, what? And then gain weight and then have society tell me I'm not right? You know? And so everybody has – it's a gradient scale, and you don't do it for everything. So I applied that to personal essays and observations.
That sounds super interesting, and I imagine, you know, no one has more experience in that arena than you do as being a person in the public eye and on stage being judged for years now by perfect strangers.
Yeah. I mean, lucky for all of us, I have an unnaturally healthy ego. So when someone's like, you don't look good, I'm like, you're wrong. So, and I don't know why, and I talk about it in the book. We all have our insecurities. So as a woman, the older you get, you reach certain points where you're like, I don't care. I'm wearing this. But I can genuinely tell you, as an educated, intelligent woman, there are times where I have had close to a panic attack because I couldn't figure out what kind of t-shirt to wear. Because I had fantasized in my head where we were going that day and what kind of day we were supposed to have. And if I'm not wearing the right shirt, then I'm not going to have the perfect day. I had been promised by a movie I saw when I was 11 about this place. Do you do this?
Not even a little
bit. Are you serious?
No.
So
you
know you're revoking your girl card.
You know that you're going to wear a t-shirt. You just have an intense battle with which one.
Which one? Because you
and
get...
What does it say about the choice I make?
Yeah. Right? Or can this happen if I – clothes, we have a very close relationship with clothes and what they mean and what they say about us, what society thinks about us. But I think as women – and you're blowing this out of the water by not agreeing. No, you're not even yes-anding me. We watch –
come on, Allie. Get on board.
Okay. Yeah, I should have worn that shirt. My day would have been better.
There you go. Girl power.
Okay.
We pick out these snippets. We'll see movies, right? You see like a rom-com and you're like, oh, I want a guy. A friend of mine told me recently that he met a girl and she broke up with him and she texted him a couple months later. She's like, I met a new guy. I finally have someone to dance barefoot in the living room with. And you know that that was something she'd made up in her head and she was waiting for a guy to do that.
Right.
When I was, oh my God, like 15, I was standing next to this couple in high school, and the girl, she was like a year older than me, she was crying, and she kept saying to her boyfriend, I'm such a mess. And the boyfriend kissed her on the forehead, and he was like, you're not a mess. I love you. And I remember thinking, I want a guy to tell me I'm not a mess, and tell me and be tender and gingerly. And I held on to that moment my whole life, and then about 4 years ago, we were like drunk at like an a.m. p.m., and I decided I was going to force that moment. And I'm not a mess, but I said to my boyfriend, I go, I'm such a mess. Wanting him to do what that guy in high school did to that girl.
Right.
And he said to me, you're not a mess. And I go, oh my God. He goes, you're a monster. And then he tickled me and I farted. So I saved up my whole life trying to make this moment happen.
Liza, because of the kind of show that you do, I bet a lot of women feel like you are their best friend, even though you don't know each other. Do people come at you all the time for advice? Your fans?
You know, not so much advice, but it's definitely more of like an outpouring of, you remind me of my best friend. I think we need to be best friends. Because comedy is honest, and you know whatever kind of comedy you listen to, if you like a comic, you're liking them because they tap into something that resonates with you, something that is similar to you, or something so ridiculous and outlandish
right.
that it can't be relatable. So I get a lot of love from women, which is a hard thing to come by because we tend to not be kind. So I really appreciate that and embrace those fans.
Yeah. The book is called Girl Logic. It's available for pre-sale now. It comes out November 7th. Would you say, Eliza, that it would make an outstanding holiday gift?
Make an outstanding stocking stuffer. We make an outstanding holiday gift. We deliberately put it on sale right before the holidays.
Weird.
To make sure you could get yours.
Weird.
See the timing of that?
The timing.
It's good timing, yeah.
It just happened.
And,
just twisting.
Irvine Improv Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. Tickets are on sale right now. 21 and up, please. Improv.com. And I guess we'll just keep watching the social media, find out the details on the Netflix special then.
Absolutely. We'll be announcing it shortly.
Thanks for coming in. We
Thanks
appreciate
for having
it. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. LANOC's Alternative Rock. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
Keep listening for your chance to win more Killers tickets for their show coming up at the Forum. It's the Forum, right?
Staples Center.
I should bring the paperwork up.
Staples Center.
Keep listening for your chance to win those tickets to see the Killers at Staples Center on February 1st and qualify for the amazing grand prize drawing. All the details are at KROQ.com. We'll tell you all about it, but we give you a chance to be the man, and it's going to be a night to remember, you guys. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's going on?
It's amazing.
Yule.
It's Monday morning. Means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Dark Tower debuted with just $19.5 million. Still good enough to make it number one, however. Dunkirk was right behind it with $17.6 million. Emoji Movie, $12.4 million. Girls Trip, $11.4 million, made it number four. And Kidnap, the Halle Berry film, in its debut, made just a hair over $10 million, making it number five. The rest of the top 10 shakes out like this. Spider-Man Homecoming, Atomic Blonde, Detroit, War for the Planet of the Apes, and Despicable Me 3. As I mentioned last hour, Despicable Me, that series of films now has surpassed the Shrek movies to become the highest-grossing animated movie franchise of all time. The Despicable Me movies have topped $3.5 billion globally.
Wow.
As of this weekend.
Oh, that's right.
Passing the five Shrek movies. starring Shrek, if you include Puss in Boots, and we must include Puss in Boots. I mean,
I would assume so.
Yes. So there you go. Speaking of movies, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is slated to come out on home video and on pay-per-view any minute now. Blu-ray and 4K releases are right around the corner. And to celebrate, I don't know if you saw or not, but this new music video that dropped yesterday featuring Zardu Hasselfrau. Zardu Hasselfrau!
Yep. Mm.
You don't know. David Hasselhoff singing Inferno, which is just a terrific, gimmicky 70s music video. It's like everything you've ever seen come out of the disco era. It's crappy sequin jumpsuits and facial hair and mutton chops, and it features the entire cast of Guardians 2, including Dave Bautista and Zoe Saldana, Michael Rooker.
It's corny as hell.
It is awesome. It is spectacular. James Gunn, the director, is playing drums there. You even get a little taste of Chris Pratt in the video as well. If you haven't seen it, you should definitely check it out. Punch in Guardians Inferno and YouTube, and you'll enjoy yourself.
This is a mess.
And who else shows up in a little cameo, naturally? Stan the Man. Stan Lee. Anyone?
Yeah, that's
Stan
great.
Lee. And I did want to mention to all the nerds, geeks, and my other peeps out there that this Stan Lee tribute that's going to be happening in a couple weeks is just shaping up to be outstanding. It's called Extraordinary Stan Lee, and it is a tribute to the man, the myth, the legend that is Stan Lee. Chris Hardwick will be hosting. It all happens at the Saban Theater on Wilshire Boulevard in Beverly Hills, California on August 22nd. Is the date for this show, August 22nd. And there's a bunch of different levels you can buy tickets for. You can get the VIP meet and greet if you want to meet Stan. It'd be pretty cool. Wow. There's going to be Q&A with Stan. There's going to be lots of celebrity tributes. So far, and the list keeps growing, but we know these people will be on hand to pay tribute to Stan Lee as they celebrate his life and career. Michael Rooker from the aforementioned Guardians of the Galaxy, he's going to be on hand. Lou Ferrigno will be there, the Hulk himself. Tom Bergeron, who you may or may not know, is a huge comic book fan. He's going to be there. Morgan Spurlock is going to be on hand. Aisha Tyler, Seth Green, Karen Gillian, James Gunn, J.K. Wow. Simmons.
Wow.
Hmm. And, of course, wait for it, Zardu Hasselfrau. Zardu Hasselfrau.
Is he going to be performing?
David Hasselhoff will be on hand. No word yet whether he'll be performing Inferno or not. He certainly should. But let's not forget that he was also Nick Fury. He was the first Nick Fury.
Oh, that's right.
In the
say it again, Kevin.
Oh, that's right.
In the TV version of Nick Fury. Before we got the Samuel L. Jackson version, we had the Zardu Hasselfrau version. So,
by the way,
anyway, I just want to real quick to wrap it up. You can get all that all those tickets at Ticketmaster.com if you want to check out the Stan Lee tribute. It's called Extraordinary : Stan Lee. Not that Stan Lee has an extraordinary colon.
That's good to know.
But it's just extraordinary.
Might.
Yeah. He might. Look, at his age, something kept him going.
Yeah.
I'm guessing he was well flushed.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, who's more active and seems to be in such great shape as Stan Lee at 94? It's amazing.
Extraordinary is what he is.
He certainly is.
Extraordinary : Stan Lee is the event you want to look for at the Saban on August 22nd.
Oh, that's right.
He is what Bean pretends he's going to be.
Yeah,
I am going to be
at that age.
I absolutely am.
You're not as energetic or as creative as Stan Lee now, and you're not 94.
I'm pacing myself. That's why.
So you can really pour it on in your 90s.
You're going to really gear it up.
I'm going to far outlive Stan Lee. That's what I'm saying. If he lives to be 105, I'm going to live to be 120. So that's all I'm doing. I'm just saving those heartbeats, man.
Good luck with that.
Thank you.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Mike Trout of your Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. He's 26 years old today. He's pretty good at what he does.
Turns out.
He's got a gift. Dave Duchovny, who is 57 years old today.
He's pretty good at what he does.
He's also pretty good at what he does. And actress Charlize Theron, once again, pretty good at what she does.
Yep.
42 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. Not particularly good at what I do, but I walk the showbiz beat.
So I says to him, is a thing that we have been known to say on this program, Kevin, and apparently listeners have had enough of it.
Okay.
Apparently there are some listeners who are up in arms over that expression, so I says to him, I says. And that kind of got us off to a discussion on Friday about things, expressions that people have that just drive you crazy, like you want to kill the person if they say fill in the blank. And we're going to be talking about that and give some other examples coming up in about 10 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. But a lot of listeners very, very happy to share with us how disappointed they are in us. You'll be happy to know. About a week ago, maybe a couple days more, we brought you a story that that we first saw on TMZ.com, and it was a little bit of a surprise. You know, you think that all celebrities know each other, but they really don't. And when you see two people together that you don't expect to know each other and hang out, it's shocking. And that was certainly the case with Infowars.com Alex Jones and Spencer Pratt, who, I don't know, 10 years ago, maybe more, was a reality TV star on The Hills.
Yeah.
Like, how can they be operating in the same universe? And if they did pass each other, how do they even know who the other one is?
Like, that's a great question.
I'd be amazed that Spencer Pratt would know who Alex Jones is, and vice versa. But they showed up at the same place and started hanging out together, I guess, while they were both on vacation in Hawaii. And I think we got a little tape on that.
Live here, InfoWars Bakery. Alex Jones.
Good to see you, brother. Gotta get back on the show, man.
Good to see you.
Congratulations on the baby coming along.
Yeah, you got more famous than Spidey now.
I don't know about that.
Oh, you are. You took our game.
No.
It's odd to me that he thinks they're still as famous as they were.
Yeah. Right. And that Alex Jones would take their game. What does that even mean?
So wait, but Alex Jones being popular takes Spencer and Heidi down a notch?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, we did talk to Alex Jones at the time the story broke, but we put in a request through his people, and apparently we have Spencer Pratt on the line now, famous from The Hills, who can talk to us finally as well. Spencer, how are you, man?
Oh, it's the most beautiful of mornings. It's always great to talk to you. Mm-hmm. Kendall and Barry and
Kevin Bean, right?
Aloysius.
It's Allie.
Just Allie. Just Allie.
Yeah, all right. How chunk.
So, what? I'm sorry, what?
You know, that girl in the band that's in the studio with you, Chunk?
Chip. Yeah, Chip. She's off today. But yeah, Chip.
Oh,
yeah.
Whatever, Captain. All right. Okay. No, you're great.
So you're still throwing around Spidey. That's still a word that comes out of your mouth because of you and Heidi being together.
What do you mean still throwing it around? I mean, it's still like probably the most Google search term there is in 2017.
I mean, most people haven't thought of you guys probably for 10 years.
Oh, that's because you only know broke people, but most rich people that are successful and powerful and you know, like, have affliction shirts,
I see.
They Google search it pretty much every day. In fact, I am Google search. I invented it. So
I don't think that's true at all.
It's bigger than that. I'm a jujitsu black belt.
Okay. What? None of that is true. Spencer, did you keep in touch with Alex Jones from Infowars.com after you guys ran into each other on the island?
Wouldn't you like to know? Probably monitoring us because you're a shadow government agency and that you're part of the deep state.
Wow.
I mean, to say that I've kept in touch with them is probably an understatement because we've actually put computer chips inside each other so that we're always with each other, at least in a virtual reality sense, so that we can keep an eye on the Bilderberg Group and the Illuminati and the lizard people that actually run the Federal Reserve.
And you know, it's so typical, Spencer, this mainstream media radio show tries to put you down and say you're no longer as popular as you used to be, when we all know you're even more popular and more powerful than you've ever been.
Alex,
pop in?
What happened?
Because you heard the man. We have chips embedded in our brains that keep us linked at all times.
Okay.
What I hear, he hears. What I see, he sees, and vice versa.
I'm not even moving my lips. Alex Jones not even moving his lips. It's like one big ether of just wokeness.
That's why we're snorkeling to gather up the seaweed to allow us to use the anti-mind control drugs.
You know that Alex Jones invented carrots?
What?
Did you know that Sean Spicer was an android made out of candy corn and paraffin wax?
That's true. John Podesta is a pagan goat.
What?
Kodak Instagram cameras can take photos of your soul. That's why you no longer see flash cubes.
Have you ever felt like your energy was being a little bit drained when you put your car in reverse? That's because the government deep web has inserted different type of energy draining, fatiguing forces inside every car in the United States of America. Boom.
That's
and the Democratic zombies are using sangria instead of embalming fluid.
Okay, I don't know that the world needs two of you.
It doesn't have two of us. We are one. We are now one.
I see.
We are Spencer
right.
and Alex. We are Spalix.
Spalix.
I don't love it.
You think that's going to fly, do you? Spalix?
We don't really care if it's going to fly with you and the mainstream media. We care that the tens of millions of people out there that are fighting the good fight, that are building the bunkers, that are making sure that everybody knows that Barack Obama is not a Kenyan. He's actually a Martian that was brought here to make sure that you stay mind-controlled and understand that the United States government is actually being run by midget horses who have been used by a Tupac hologram to get you to stay asleep to the fact that all trees don't exist.
But I've
seen
trees.
You know, he's got a point. You can't deny he's got a point.
Not sure what it is, though.
There are no trees!
We got a text just now at 1-800-520-1067 from the 818. Holy S, am I really hearing Chevelle? F yeah. So I think we made somebody's right. Monday right there playing that song. Hey, welcome to Kevin Amin Show here on a Monday morning. I saw a tweet from my closest friend in show business, Jimmy Pardo, on Friday. And I think, Kevin, you will agree with the sentiment here. Here's what he tweeted. I overheard a guy saying, happy wifey, happy lifey. Me explaining to my cellmate what I'm in for.
Oh, no. He killed him.
How do you send that guy to jail? If he kills someone for saying happy wifey, happy lifey, if you're on that jury, don't you just go, well, the guy kind of had it coming to
him? Yeah, for sure.
I would. There's no defense for something like that. And that kind of got us on the topic. By the way, we could all agree, because I know we're not going to all agree on all of these, but we could all agree there's no reason in the world to ever say happy wifey, happy lifey, right?
Agreed.
I agree.
Okay, that one's out.
I just got a tweet. I want to punch at the Kevin Ryder in the throat every time he says same.
Same.
And your answer to that, Kevin,
same.
Is?
It was same. Same. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I started thinking. I'm sorry, Allie, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I have a guy that emails me and says, every time you say sweet spirit, a puppy dies, which upset me because I don't think that's
puppies.
True. But I just wrote back to him and said, well, bless your heart. It's the same thing. And I think it really got to him, but it was funny to me.
By the way, I live in the South now, as you know.
Same.
I hear bless. No, Kevin, you don't. I hear bless your heart almost every single day.
Absolutely.
Bless your heart. It's a thing that people say. So I mentioned a couple of minutes ago, yeah, we've definitely been hearing from people like the same and like the sweet spirit. We frequently hear complaints about, so I says to him, I says. That's something that just rubs people the wrong way. The other one, Kevin, that I get
You know what's
from,
funny, though, is that we do that on purpose to be funny.
Right.
So I says to him, I says, of course you're not supposed to say it that way.
Right.
But it cracks us up.
Yeah,
but it
absolutely.
Doesn't crack everybody up.
No, it doesn't at all. And by the way, this is what we're looking for. We're looking for your calls at 1-800-520-1067 or your text. It doesn't have to have anything to do with us. Just phrases that people use that just are fingernails on a chalkboard to you. Just drive you crazy. You hate these phrases. What are they? 1-800-520-1067 for calls and texts. The other one that we most frequently get complaints for, Kevin, any idea? Can you think of something else that we say frequently that drives people crazy?
Valentine's Day?
Well, Valentine's Day is the only way to go.
Is that not it?
But that's a great example of something that we also do on purpose because we think it's funny, but then people hear it and they go, why do people say Valentine's Day? It's not Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
No, the one I was thinking of is hear my whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Hear my whole thing.
Yeah.
Which, for folks who don't know, is our tribute to the great Santa Carl, who stops by every December to talk to the little boys or girls. He says, hear my whole thing. And that's why we picked it up, because it still cracks me up. I don't know. But people hate that, too.
Yeah.
All right.
I feel like if it's coming out of our mouths, people hate it.
That's also true.
That's not our goal.
It sounds like an occupational hazard.
It really does.
Seems like we may not be the right guys in this job. All right. Here's a list of a couple to kind of prime the pump here at 1-800-520-1067. And out there somewhere, there's somebody who hates the expression prime the pump. You tell me where you guys are on some of these that are on a list, all right? If it's meant to be, it's meant to be.
I don't hear that one very often, but I think it would annoy me if I did. It's the same with It Is What It Is.
I was just going to say that's the one I've told you guys before. It just I had a boss that would say that to everything. It is what it is. Shut. Drives me nuts.
Here's one that has been an expression in England forever, but I think Simon Cowell is the one who made this a thing in America, and that is when he was on American Idol as a judge. At the end of the day. There are a lot of people who hate at the end of the day.
Oh, really?
Trite. Yeah.
So you're saying at the end of the day, you're not going to make it as a singer
exactly.
or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. Bother anybody else?
No.
Not so much.
Not really. Okay.
Not that much.
How about Sunday Funday?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
that's
that
annoying.
Sucks. And that trends every Sunday on Twitter.
It does,
Sunday Funday. Drives me crazy. Everybody's so happy with words that rhyme. I don't know what it is about that, but if it rhymes, people are thrilled.
Kevin, we're past the dads and grad season, so I don't know what it is you're talking about. That's always been a pet peeve of yours, dads and grads. How about, and of course you're exhausted after Sunday Funday, what about I've Got a Case of the Mondays? Anyone got any bandwidth left for I Got a Case of the Mondays?
Not really. Mm. Heard it enough, probably.
Give 110%.
Because it's not technically possible?
You can't give 110%,
right?
Does that bother you, or do you just accept it as, well, we know what they mean, which is I'm going to give everything
I think they're usually kidding, and they mean, let's give about 60%. That's how I interpret that.
Before we go to the calls, let's hear from Nini, who emails us, using bad boy as a noun for everything, like, let's watch that bad boy when referring to a TV show.
Oh, sure.
Oh, man.
Bad boy.
Who's doing that?
Drives her crazy.
I sort of like it.
No.
You like bad boy?
I don't think I do it, but I sort of like it. It cracks me up.
All right, let's go to Corey, Granada Hills, up first, line 5, 1-800-520-1067. We're looking for the expressions that drive you crazy. You can call or text, same number. Corey, you're up first. What's going on, man?
Hey, everyone. How's it going?
Good, thanks.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My expression that I just cannot stand is sorry, not sorry. That one just drives me.
It's ran its course, I think.
But it's the new Demi Lovato song, you guys. It's hotter than ever. Come on.
Get on board.
No.
No?
Okay. No one.
It's just too much.
All right.
All right. So we should be taking notes then, Corey, and just like everything that people say, we should just shouldn't do it anymore, right? Just
vote. We'll vote. I think I'm fine with sorry, not sorry going away.
Okay. All right, Corey. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Chris. He's in Hawthorne, line 2.
All right. Hey, Chris. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Kevin and Bean, good morning. I love your show.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, my fiance has the bad habit of always saying, you know, like, after every sentence, and it just gets under my skin.
I feel like that's...
Does she ever say, and I was all, and he was all?
And
no,
she went,
she
and said, I go...
Yeah, when I went to the store, and you know, like, I saw this girl, and you know, like, and it just, oh,
I
man.
Feel like everybody says that, don't you?
I definitely do.
Like, doesn't it feel like every single person on Earth says that?
But I still say murder button.
I mean, I can annoy you. I can see why I would annoy you because everyone says it.
Yeah, you know, like everyone. You're gonna have to cut her loose, though, dude. I'm sorry, Chris.
Chris,
you're gonna have to find a new girlfriend.
No.
I'm sorry. That's the ruling. 1-800-520-1067. Your calls or texts next on K-Rock. We're making it very tough for people to listen to with all these expressions, one right after another, that people hate. But we're taking your calls and your texts at 1-800-520-1067. Before we go to Rob real quick and play some Green Day from the 909, I can't stand when somebody informs me that they are getting hangry. So that means you get to be an entitled a-hole because you neglected to feed yourself? No. Hangry is not a thing. From the 714, trying to say you've made a complete turnaround and saying, I did a total 360. So you're back to where you started? Dumbass, it's a 180 you're doing, not a 360. All right, let's see what Rob's got.
Hey, Rob.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What drives you crazy?
Supposedly.
Oh.
Oh, who are you hanging with?
Right?
You may not want to know, but...
Now, Rob, we've been discussing this off the air. Do you think people that say supposedly are trying to be funny, or do you think they just think that's how supposedly is pronounced?
The group that I'm with, it seems to be a regular pronunciation in their vocabulary.
I gotcha.
Oh, yeah. Right. Murder button. Sorry.
Yeah, you need to pick new friends. Apologize.
All right, Rob. We're taking more calls. 1-800-520-1067. Same number for text, too, right after Green Day on the world-famous K-Rock. Guys, we're getting a lot of response. A lot of people hate a lot of things.
A lot of things that we seem to say a lot.
Yes, that's also true. We're apparently guilty of a lot of these. 1-800-520-1067. Gabriel from Stanton writes in, good for you is such a condescending term. I hate that so much. Yeah. Well, sometimes people can mean good for you in a nice way.
I would think so. It's just the people that are saying it to her probably.
JT, Gabriel. JT in the 626, it drives me nuts when people say must be nice.
Yeah, that's condescending, too. Yeah.
Must be nice.
All right.
From the 818, I hate the phrase fixin', like I'm fixin' to do my laundry or I'm fixin' to go to the store. What the F are you fixin'?
Really? All right. Let's get back to the calls. 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to, let's get Greg on from Whittier, please. Line one. Hey, Greg.
Hi, good morning. Long time. Love you guys.
Thank you.
I cannot stand that said.
Oh, people who say that said.
That said.
So they exactly. say one thing, and then they basically say the exact mm-hmm. opposite?
Usually done in the context of sports talk. Your guy Petros does this a ton. I still love
that
him.
That is interesting. In other words, you think it's unnecessary because we've just heard what the last sentence was out of your mouth. You don't need to remind us of it.
Absolutely.
I'll allow that.
Yeah. Although it's a transition phrase, isn't mm-hmm. it? It's a transition yeah, exactly. phrase to something that's maybe a little bit different than what you just said. So, okay.
Greg says no. Greg says
Greg
murder.
Says no.
All right. Let's try
no
Mario.
Saying murder
Los
yet,
Angeles.
Bean. No one's saying no,
we're not at, we're
murder.
Not at murder yet?
No.
Mario, L.A., line three, please.
Hey, Mario.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
Who'da thunk it?
Who'da thunk it? Now, does anyone say that and they're not yeah. trying to be funny?
No, they're not. I laughed at it once. A friend was saying, no, it's a thing, man. Look it up. And I guess it came up in the 1930s of... A ventriloquist came up with it.
Yeah, but your friend doesn't really think thunk is a past tense of think, right?
I asked them, what the heck does that mean? And they were like, it's past tense, bro. Look it
oh,
up.
Mario. That's not
wow.
good.
It's past
I mean,
tense,
look,
bro.
If you hear that expression, if you hear that expression your whole life growing up, you just think that's what it is, I would think. It's pretty common,
so.
Right?
Yeah, I guess so, but it just doesn't sound right. It sounds wrong.
Well, it's not right.
Well, it is
it's,
wrong.
Yeah. It's wrong, yeah. All right, thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Let's go to Mark Irvine. Man, if there was a top five, I bet this would be in it for a lot of people.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thank you. What drives you crazy?
Oh, man. Okay, so when people are talking about just a simple thing, like, man, I had the cheeseburger the other day and it had cheese on it, you know what I'm saying?
That does happen a lot with stuff that you absolutely know what they're saying, so why say
that? Paging Snoop Dogg. Hello, Snoop Dogg, come in, please.
Yeah,
I think that's on the list.
And then they say, you know what I mean? Saying, you know what I mean? It's like, I know what you're saying, and I know what you mean. If I had any question about it, I would have asked you the moment you were done talking.
I would have raised my hand.
Yeah,
we actually all are speaking English in this conversation. We got it. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate that. Line 8, please. Liliana in Torrance. I think she's got a good one, too.
Hey, Liliana.
How about... Hi, guys. Good morning.
Hi, morning.
How about when people say... The fact of the matter is.
Oh, yeah, that drives me crazy, too.
My dad.
Oh, does it, Kevin? This is one for you, too.
Yeah,
huh?
The fact of the matter is.
Yeah, like my dad, anytime he's trying to make a point, like we're like having a debate, he's like, the fact of the matter is. And my sister and I just have this look, like from across the room at each other, like this freaking guy right now.
That one is the same to me as, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That drives me crazy, too.
Yeah.
Because
I
assume that you're going to be honest when you're talking. I don't know that you need to say it.
Fair enough. Thank you so much for the call, Liliana. I appreciate that. 818 writes in, no offense drives me crazy. You just said something offensive, and offense doesn't make it better. Own it or don't say it, dumbass. Queen V on Twitter, at Kevin and Bean, says, what not? Makes me want to vomit.
Really?
Oh,
what
seems
not?
Extreme.
It does a little bit. Okay. All right. Let's go to Matt Nazusa. He's on line 4. I think this one's going to hit you personally, Kevin. This one's going to hit you hard and hurt you.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, party people. Hey, Allie, smell it. this place is banned in our house. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Oh, that's such a dad.
Oh, that is a
dadism.
Thing. Yeah. That's a parent.
That does cut, though, man.
Saying it to each other. It's like, you're not my parent. You're hurting my feelings with that one even more.
Yeah. But there is nothing worse than hearing that from a parent. That cuts.
But you have friends that say it. That's weird.
Yeah, if people who are acting like, dude, you can't condescend to me. You're in your late 30s, too. Shut up.
All right. We're learning a lot here today. Thank you for the call.
Can
Appreciate
we go to line
that.
3? Because I, yes, Mike, yes, all
Let's
yes.
Let's do it.
Mike?
Yeah, when there's dialogue on the radio and they say, look.
Before they start a sentence.
Before starting guilty. A sentence.
Bean is guilty of it, and every single panel show where they have guest commentators, it's so condescending when someone is raising a point, and then the next person goes, look. And then they start theirs, like, right. Oh, get over yourself. Oh, it drives me bonkers.
I don't think of it as condescending at all.
Oh.
Interesting.
How about that?
Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. All right, we just have time for a couple more. Let's go to Andrew, Long Beach, Line 7. Up next on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about those phrases, those expressions that drive you crazy, taking your calls and texts. Andrew, you're up next. What's up?
Morning. Hi. Mine is beg the question.
Begs the question.
Now, that's one of those expressions that people don't use precisely the way it's defined, right?
Yes. Basically, most people are trying to sound smart when they say it. Instead of saying asking the question or raise the question, they say beg the question, which is not begging the question.
And I'm also going to add to what you're saying. A lot of people feel that way about people who overuse the word basically, Andrew.
Oh, true.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. True.
All right. So we're in an impasse now. I think we're tied, buddy.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes till 9 o'clock.
Killers at Staples Center, February 1st. I know it seems like a long ways away, but it'll be here before you know it. We are giving away tickets all week long here on the world-famous K-Rock, including coming up in the next 20 minutes or so on the Kevin and Bean Show. Everyone who wins is qualified for the grand prize drawing to make you be the man. Mm-hmm. Tickets for you and five friends, your own dressing room. You get to hang out with the band. You get to raid the merch booth. You get the chauffeured SUV to the show. It's a pretty good deal. All the details at KRock.com, your chance to win, is coming up. Hey, Ralph Garman.
You get to spank the band member of your choice, too.
Is that awesome. I don't see that in any of the information.
Oh, I show I'm the man. Whack! Who's the man? I am, right?
I don't think that's part of it.
Oh. Yeah. Well, it seems incomplete, then. Seems like an incomplete prize package. But there's no spanking.
There's no spanking.
Well, that remains to be seen. I think they're still in negotiations. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. The Dark Tower, right? Kevin, you know about The Dark Tower. You were there. You saw it.
I mean, I did see it.
You saw it. So tell us. Tell us all about The Dark Tower.
I may have been a little out of it at that point.
Oh, I see.
So
at that point. Well, enjoy your movies, Kevin.
I did see it, and I'm not positive what it was.
$19.5 million made it number one. It's not a huge number one weekend, but still a good weekend if you're The Dark Tower. Mm. Dunkirk.
Kevin, did you... I'm going to try to say this with a straight face. Did you read the book? Dark Tower?
Come on.
I'm so busy running to read.
Runs
busy.
A lot.
I'm so, a busy guy. So you went in cold.
So yes, I went in cold.
They all had to explain everything
to you. So much run. Dunkirk was second. The Emoji Movie was third. Girls Trip was fourth. Kidnap, in its debut, number five at the box office with a hair over $10 million. Spidey. Spider-Man Homecoming came in at number six. Atomic Blonde, Detroit. War for the Planet of the Apes and Despicable Me 3 rounded out your top 10 movies at the box office this past weekend. While we're talking about people at number one, we got to give some love to Arcade Fire. Their new album, Everything Now, debuted at number one on the big Billboard top 10 list. So congratulations to those guys. Kendrick Lamar was second, Damn. Then Meek Mill, DJ Khaled. Is it Khaled or Khalid? I've heard it both.
Khaled.
Jay-Z. Then 21 Savage. Okay. None of our bands so far, right? Mm-hmm. Just keeping track. There they are. Imagine Dragons.
There you go.
At number seven with Evolve. Thunder. 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 Love that damn song. Ed Sheeran's Divide. The Descendants 2 soundtrack, and Lana Del Rey's Lust for Life at number 10, obviously.
Sure.
Oh, that's obviously. Right.
That's right.
Obviously.
Cool geek news. This is pretty smart of Netflix, I must say. Netflix has bought their own comic publishing company. If you want to control... the product, you have to go to the source, right?
Interesting.
Warner Brothers owns DC.
Mm-hmm.
ABC/Disney owns Marvel. So Netflix says, oh, we're going to buy a comic book company, and then we'll have all the characters that comic book company owns. And it's pretty cool, too. It's Miller World, and that's Mark Miller's company. He's the man who gave us Kingsman and Kick-Ass.
Wow.
And that stuff there.
And those two.
It's enough.
No, he's got like 20 different titles under his umbrella, and they're all awesome. Superior, by the way, one of my favorite comic books that has not been made yet into a movie or television show, would be perfect for Netflix, and a bunch of other characters as well. So look for more comic book movies and TV shows on Netflix.
Pretty smart way to do it.
It is. You just buy them up. I know Donald Trump may not be everybody's choice. May not be everybody's taste. And for varying reasons. But now he's really torn it. Now he's really shredded my shorts.
Uh-oh.
With this latest news.
Is that a thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Donald Trump might be responsible for the breakup of Journey. He's going to break up Journey. I cannot have that.
Wait, like current Journey?
Why and how?
All Journey. The full Journey.
Okay.
Current, just past, present.
A couple weeks ago with that Dodger Stadium show.
Yes.
People said they were great. What's going on with Journey?
They just finished up the East Coast leg of that show. The Classic East. They just performed that on July 30th in New York. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. Neil Schon, the guitarist, founder of Journey, mm-hmm. is at odds with the little Filipino girl who sings lead for them.
It's a man.
Yeah. Little dude.
Filipino man.
And bassist Ross Valerie and keyboard player Jonathan Cain. They are at cross purposes because Arnell and Ross and Jonathan all visited President Trump in Washington, D.C.
See, this is
and
why
there was
don't
a video
politics.
Released that said the tag, Journey visits the White House. And Neil Schon's like, oh, no, you didn't. Because I was not there, and I do not support him, and Journey did not visit the White House. These three dudes just visited it. And Jonathan Cain, keyboardist, longtime keyboardist for Journey, his wife is a woman named Paula White, who is Donald Trump's personal minister and a member of the president's evangelical advisory board. So apparently the infighting inside the group over politics is tearing Journey apart.
That's unfortunate.
It's very unfortunate. Because the wheel in the sky keeps on turning. And we don't know where we'll be tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So we have to take care of business today. Right?
With this news coming out, does it say who's crying now?
Here, they say it does not bode well for the band. But I say don't stop believing. You have to feel that this band will stay together and still keep making music.
If they were to go their separate ways, though, would Neil just get a new singer and keep doing the Journey songs, do you think?
I all I can say is...
I'd accept that with open arms, I'll tell you that.
You laugh, but rumors are they've been talking to a gentleman named Steve Perry.
Oh.
About.
Did he say to Steve, any way you want it, you can come back?
See, we're all having a good time. I just think we're all having a good time.
We just tried to stretch it, didn't we? A little too far.
But is he really talking to Steve Perry?
A little too far.
For real?
Yes.
I didn't know if he could still sing.
Putting a little band together.
I thought the whole thing with Steve was his voice wasn't as strong, and I'm in, though.
Right? Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, that would be
the original lineup back together.
Big bucks getting him back in the band, yeah.
Right?
And he can sure do those songs faithfully.
We were finished.
Look. I don't think that's condescending at all. Look.
Same.
Look. Hear my whole thing. I says.
Hall of Fame!
Yeah. It's nuts.
Oh, that's right.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Mike Trout is 26 years old today. He's from your Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Dave Duchovny, soon to be seen in more episodes of X-Files, 57 years old today. And actress Charlize Theron, currently an Atomic Blonde. She is 42 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Jessica Rivas, you guys, from Downey, just won tickets to go see The Killers at Staples Center on February 1st, and she is qualified to be the man. Sorry to be so sexist, Jessica, but if you win, you get tickets for you and five friends, your own dressing room, you get to hang out with the band, you get all the merchandise, you get the chauffeured SUV to the show. It's a pretty good deal. We got it for you all week long here on the world-famous K-Rock and on the Kevin and Bean Show, too.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:36.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hi, Bean.
What you talking about?
I'm Buzz.
I'd rather you weren't.
Yeah, I think we all were. Hey, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. That's what we do on a Monday. See what people went to see in the theaters over the weekend. The Dark Tower debuted with $19.5 million, making it number one. Dunkirk, $17.6 million. At number two, The Emoji Movie, $12.4 million, was third. Girls Trip was fourth with $11.4 million. Kidnapped debuted with $10 million. New Halle Berry thriller. It was good enough to make it number five. Spider-Man Homecoming, Atomic Blonde, Detroit, War for the Planet of the Apes, and Despicable Me 3 came in at number 10. Speaking of Despicable Me, that series of films has surpassed the previous record holder to become the highest-grossing animated movie franchise of all time worldwide. Despicable Me movies have topped $3.5 billion globally as part of as of this weekend.
Just, how are those movies, Ralph?
I have never seen one through in its entirety.
Really? I would think that would be another one of those that's a kid's essential.
No interest in our house.
How about that?
Little yellow jelly beans running around, whatever. It just doesn't seem to have any.
That's the King of Mexico. He's probably seen each of them 10 times.
It doesn't hold any thrall for her. No.
How about you, Kevin? You've seen them.
I have not.
What?
I have not.
Who are all these people going to see the Despicable movies then?
There's a lot of other people other than us.
I guess
not
so.
You guys are the best.
Right? See? That's Dave. See? He's all over.
Dave loves them.
Man, children like Dave.
Okay.
To see right. The previous record holder was the Shrek franchise, which had $3.5 billion globally, and this Despicable Me just nudged past it this weekend. So, sorry, Shrek.
I think Shrek's still okay.
No,
at $3.5 billion.
Oh, I'm so sad. I can't believe our movies aren't more popular. It's too bad, Shrek. Says Donkey.
When are you taking that one-man show on the road, Ralph?
Shrek, exclamation point, the musical?
Yeah, I like it.
I don't know, soon. Speaking of number ones, big shakeup in the world of plastic surgery.
Uh-oh.
You know, celebrities are used often as the guidelines, the barometers of what's hot in plastic surgery.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
People will bring in pictures from magazines and what have you and say, oh, give me this.
Right.
And we talked about it, I think last week, we talked about the fact that the big trend in plastic surgery was the dimpleplasty. We talked about this with Allie.
Yeah, that sounded painful.
Because people love the dimples, and now they want dimples because a lot of popular celebrities have dimples now, like Jennifer Garner and et al. Allie McKay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
She has the rare double dimple.
Thank you for noticing. Yeah.
Which is unique. Mm-hmm. Not quite a trend, but I'm sure it will be soon. However, eye jobs have always been popular. That's where they do surgery on the eye, by the way. Don't get confused with anything else.
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. What kind of jobs?
Eye jobs.
Eye jobs. Okay,
yes.
Gotcha.
And previously, the most alluring eyes, according to plastic surgeons, the most requested eye was that of Megan Fox. Megan Fox had the eyes.
Oh, they do pop.
Yes.
Is it the color
but there's
or
a new
the
number
shape?
One. Shape.
Okay.
Shape, yeah. There's a new number one. And the new number one indicates to me that it's time for me to get out of reporting the showbiz news business.
Oh, no.
Because I had no idea who this woman was. How could she be number one when I don't know who she is?
You don't know who
Liquid
she is.
Larry.
Liquid Larry. That's right. First of all, she's got a man's name, so that threw me.
Right.
And the fact that she's Liquid also was strange, I thought. Anybody want to take a guess who's number one? Most alluring eyes, most desirable eyes?
I mean, it's tough to
plastic surgery
come
world.
Up with somebody that you don't know.
Maybe you know him and I don't. Maybe I'm just out of the loop.
This was like that comedian last week on that Forbes list. We were like, who the hell is this dude?
Right. This is like it's Tony Scaraposi or whatever his
name
was.
Is it an Asian pop star by any chance?
Is it an Asian pop star?
It's very specific.
Because, no, but a lot of times on lists of most admired or famous or most followed or whatever celebrities, they're, you know, these Japanese singers, these girl groups that I've never heard of, but they have a tremendous following in the country. I was wondering if maybe one of them had real pretty eyes.
No, it's not.
Okay.
Cat lady.
Yeah, the one with the worst eyes, yes. Yeah,
that'll teach me to take a sip of something while Beer Mug is answering a question. No, it's not Cat Lady. I'm just going to give it to you. You tell me if I'm a fool for not recognizing his name immediately.
Okay.
Number one most popular eye, according to plastic surgeons, in a survey taken this week, Meghan Markle.
Oh, sure.
Not going to lie to you. I know the name, but I couldn't put a face to the name.
Meghan Markle.
She's dating Prince Harry. That's huge. And she's on a TV show.
Oh, she's on a TV show.
She's also the president of Germany.
How could I not know her? No, that's Angela
Merkel. She was the first
woman
in space,
that's
too.
Impressive, though. Let's give. Let's take a minute
that's
for
right.
Kevin.
Kevin knew that there was a similar sounding person somewhere.
Come on, people.
Apparently she is
Holy
on the television
moly,
show.
She's got some cans. I know that much.
She's on the television show Suits, apparently, you guys.
Yes.
Suits. She's on Suits. Is Suits even on television anymore?
I don't know, but like I said, she's dating Prince Harry.
Oh, yeah.
That's huge.
I don't care about Prince Harry. I don't follow Prince Harry.
I do. A lot.
She has pretty good eyes.
So, apparently, Meghan Markle is number
she's
one.
She's not unattractive.
No, she's lovely, but I just... She's nowhere on my radar. I guess because I don't follow the royal family news. I had no idea who Meghan Markle was, and I guess I haven't seen Suits in a while.
Hmm.
I'm pretty sure Suits has been canceled.
I swear,
I'm pretty sure Suits isn't on the air any longer.
So
I'm not sure that one's on me.
I think it just came back like within the last couple of weeks. It's current and just came back recently.
Wow, it's been on since 2011.
Is it still on?
Yeah, there's just a dash, meaning there's no end date.
It'll never end.
Never, ever.
Plays forever.
Well, there you go. Ladies, if you want to be attractive, have your surgeon make you look like Meghan Markle's eyes. Meghan Markle.
Or don't worry about
like
it.
A character.
Yeah.
Like
it is on Wednesday nights at 9 on the USA Network, you guys.
Well, we're going to hear from somebody, I'm sure. I apologize to all my Suits friends. All my friends over at Suits.
I feel like eyes are just something you don't mess with.
Ask Kenny Rogers. He'll tell you.
Oh, right?
Yep.
Right?
If you can find him.
It's like the A-team. Hey, speaking of people, how's that for a segue? Anthony Scaramucci. We were just talking about Anthony Scaramucci in the other room. He wants to strike while the iron is hot and capitalize on his 10-day stint as White House Communications Director. Word is that he is trying to shop around a TV series or feature film based on his short-lived career at the White House.
A series, did you say?
It would be a mini-series, perhaps. Word is, and I'm not kidding, there are two working titles for this project. 10 Days in July, which sounds like a Kevin answer, from Kevin Medlidge, the news.
Or
Sit Down. Or Sit Down would be a good one. Attack of the Swamp Monsters.
Come on.
What? The other one. Sort of a spoof of science fiction horror films, but in reality, Drain the Swamp, right?
I see.
He got attacked by the swamp monsters.
I see.
While he was
there. He's not capitalizing on that Mooch nickname?
I don't know if he's...
I'm surprised.
I don't know if he's trademarked the Mooch yet or not. Because Mariucci, the football coach for a long time, he was the original Mooch.
He's the real Mooch, right, exactly.
Yeah.
It's so interesting that somebody probably will do something with that, because in any other... time, I feel like, in our history, this guy would just go underground and be too embarrassed to show his face after what a disaster he was in public office. You know what I mean?
We live
but
in a
now he's out
a
there going, hey,
world.
Look at me. Yeah.
Shame-free world.
True.
Speaking of which, Sean Spicer is reportedly in hot talks to do a cameo on Weekend Update, the SNL spinoff that is set to debut this Thursday.
Define hot talks.
They're on the phone with each other.
Oh.
You know, it's the worst of Saturday Night Live brought to you in a long form on a weekly basis now over there on NBC. They're bringing Saturday Night Live, the Weekend Update segment. It's getting its own show on Thursday.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
On Thursday nights in prime time.
Wait, with the same guys?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
with the wildly
no.
entertaining Colin Jost and Michael Che.
No, thank you.
Yes, you'll get a full half hour of it.
I don't want that.
But you're going to take it.
I don't need
take
it.
Take it.
Okay.
And they're talking to Sean Spicer to make an appearance.
Huh.
So everybody's just leaving the White House and going on to big TV jobs.
Hmm.
Allie, did you see where Mr. Spicer was over the weekend?
I did not.
Had his photo taken with a bunch of fans while enjoying some Red Sox baseball at Fenway Park.
It's on you. It's all you.
I mean, that's...
You own that.
You and your people.
Wear that. Wear that around your neck.
It's not
great. Wear it.
Okay.
So far, I've yelled at her.
At
I yelled at her, take it and wear it. The two things I've yelled at Allie so far. It's a lot for a Monday, I think. And here's some good news to wash all that out of your mouth.
Oh,
what? Are you... That's for me again?
No, or, just in general, the taste
okay.
of all that the shamelessness. Here's a reboot, a remake, a sequel I can get behind. Coming back to television on YouTube Red, if you can call that television. Some do. The Karate Kid's coming back. Karate Kid.
I'm clapping alone. Hold on a sec. Did they just make a Karate Kid movie like 5 years ago?
But this is the original. Ralph Macchio and Billy Zabka are going to square off again in a series called Cobra Kai.
They're like 50 now, though, right?
Yeah.
That seems like a weird right. series right there.
It's awesome. William Zabka will reopen the Cobra Kai dojo because he's struggling to make ends meet. And when he brings back the evil karate, well, there's no yin without yang, my friend.
Sure.
And so our friend, Daniel-san, must bring back the positive side in the spirit of Mr. Miyagi and counter his old enemy. Ooh, crane kick! Doof! Doof!
What's your level of interest in
seeing
that?
Get him a body bag!
With your own eyes, Ralph.
What? Did you not hear me applauding earlier?
No, I heard you mentioning it was coming out, but for reals, will you watch it?
I absolutely will watch it.
Okay.
Might be funny, but only if it's funny.
I get the sense it's going to be a little tongue cheeky. Yeah, I get that vibe that they're going to sort of spoof the fact that here they are after 30 years, still reliving the same feud, if you will.
All right, I'll allow it.
No one's really asking for your permission. It's going to happen regardless.
I mean, if they want to do it, I'm going to say it's okay.
No, your stand is irrelevant, really, is what I'm trying to say.
They can go ahead and proceed now that I have given it my blessing.
Let me give you a little shout-out, by the way, for a guy we all love around here. His name is Charles Connor. All this guy did was invent the backbeat of rock and roll. That's all he ever did.
That's all.
He is a drum legend. He is our security guard here at K-Rock, but he has just been announced he's going to be receiving the Lifetime Achievement Award at the 2017 Indie Entertainment Summit on Wednesday, this August 9th. Now, here's who else has received this award so far. A guy named Little Richard.
Wow.
Another one named Chuck Berry.
Both of who we played with.
That's right. Yeah. Eddie Cochran.
Wow.
So congratulations to our very own Charles Connor. He is getting the Lifetime Achievement Award this Wednesday, August 9th at the Indie Entertainment Summit. And so we could not be more proud or happy for Charles because he's a good guy and he deserves it. He's the only person I know.
The greatest radio station
in the world.
You're right, Charles. Because y'all keep it funky.
Thank you.
We do keep it juicy. We do keep it funky and juicy.
He's the only person I know in these hallowed halls that everyone unanimously likes. There's not a person here who has a bad word to say about Charles.
Agreed. It's true. Yeah.
The best. We love him. Today's celebrity birthdays. Mike Trout of your Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, 26 years old today. David Duchovny, 57. Do we still have that tape of David Duchovny being interviewed by
Big Tad?
Big Tad, who used to work here. And he was asking him, and he sort of beer mugged the moment. He just kind of ran out of questions and asked Duchovny if he believed in alien life forms. Do we have that?
Okay, now, question is, do you believe in extraterrestrial beings out there?
Well, that is just the lamest question. My God, can't you think of anything better than that?
Would you like to go to outer space? I don't know.
I'm just sitting there hoping you get abducted.
I think it went well.
Wow.
I think
so too.
And actor Charlize Theron celebrates her 42nd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with a commercial-free drive home today starting at 5 p.m. here on K-Rock tomorrow morning. An all-new Kevin and Bean show, What's Up with Florida, a brand-new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup, and tonight, of course, is the finale of The Bachelorette. It starts in about 30 minutes.
Can't wait!
And we've got The Bachelorette Report tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show.